is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run!
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde! Intercepted! Tre Day! Tre'Davious White!
He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there! Poy, touch to the right.
Outrunning everybody! 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
This is where it happens every day, the John Murphy Show, noon to 3, live from One Bills Drive. This is where the instigators happen as well. Those fellows just cleared out of the studio. We flipped all the signs in the background, hung up those jerseys on the back wall, and ready to go with our show here. Welcome. If you're listening on the radio, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you're watching on MSG, we're happy to have you in the simulcast here until 3. John Murphy and Donald Jones. The instigators are a fun group. Donald. They really are, those guys.
I mean,
those three, especially when Marty's in. That's
when Marty's in? Yeah, Marty can he can go, too. He can talk.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you get Petey, Riz, and Marty in all together, it's crazy. I wish I would have been able to go to that roast they had last year.
Yeah, last week.
No, last year. Then they
oh, the roast. I thought you meant the happy hour they had last week, wasn't it?
No, not the happy hour. I can't mess with Petey and happy hour. No, I'm just playing.
Go on.
But Marty's roast last year, I'm sure that was a crazy thing to be at.
Marty brings out the best in them, and best in us too. But how about Reve coming up with the score and the game-winning goal in his recap from the future?
That he won't is get another impressive. One right this year.
I don't know. I was impressed by that. I heard that this morning. I was like, wow. And he didn't even know that he did it when he came in today. He was
exactly
like,
what?
I said it?
Well,
you think he's just throwing darts?
He's just throwing darts. And then one of them stuck.
One of them landed. Good
and,
for ribs.
He was totally shocked. Merry Christmas.
Donald Jones is here with us from now until 3. We got a good show coming up. You feeling all right? You were suffering ill effects from your weekend ski excursion, right? But you're good now?
No, not yet. Oh, I mean, I'm getting better, but I still got a little ways to go. Yeah, my first time skiing, I come back sick. Is that a sign?
I
didn't fall.
If God wanted you to strap a piece of wood on your bottom of your feet and slide down a hill,
yeah, right.
He would have done. I don't know. Was it fun?
I mean, I had fun. I didn't fall. Well, I'm lying. I did fall, but I didn't fall coming down the slope. I fell on the side when I was just trying to get to the lift to get to the slope. Mm. So I was going very, very slow, and I fell.
That is a sign.
And that's even worse. Didn't fall. I mean, it's obviously it would hurt more when you're coming down the slope, but it's worse when you're actually basically just standing still and you fall, because then everybody's standing there, everybody's looking at you. You fall in slow motion. It's just all bad.
Yeah. You think you'll go back? Will you ski again?
I probably will.
Yeah,
I have fun.
I think you should.
I'm an athlete.
Donald is back, feeling a little bit better. We'll check with him again in about a half hour. We'll give you the updates on Donald's
physical state. That means I can get out of here.
State. No.
Go to the store and come back.
No. We're happy to be here until 3 today. Coming up at 1 o'clock, our buddy Trey Wingo from ESPN. He is the host of ESPN's NFL Live Show, the host of Golic and Wingo. We'll get his take on the championship games and on the upcoming Super Bowl and other stuff going around the NFL. Trey Wingo at 1 o'clock. Steve Tasker joins us in studio at 2 from the NFL on CBS. Steve Tasker, the Bills Wall of Famer, in here at 2 o'clock to spend an hour with us. And at 2:15, we get our first check-in with Chris Brown, Bills insider from BuffaloBills.com. Chris Brown joins us from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. They've got an interesting practice schedule this week. The first practice is scheduled for this afternoon at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, the South team at Ladd Peebles Stadium. So Chris will get with us just before that practice begins. There'll be no on-field highlights as the players don't even hit the field until 2:30 our time later today. But Chris Brown will let us know what the buzz is down there at the Senior Bowl this week. And later today, after we go off the air at 4:30 this afternoon, 4:30, Bills head coach Sean McDermott will address the media in Mobile, Alabama. Followed by, a couple hours after that, GM Brandon Bean and the new offensive coordinator Brian Daboll, the Bills' brain trust, coordinators, head coach, GM, and a bunch of personnel people all down in Mobile, Alabama this week, which I used to think of the Senior Bowl, Donald, as the unofficial turn the page, start next season. It really is, I think, for the Bills and just about everybody else, if you're not in the Super Bowl especially.
If you're not in the Super Bowl, yeah, this is your time where you turn the page. Most of the teams, the teams that have new coaches, they're really all just getting together for the first time to start to put a plan together. The teams that are coming off, like the Bills, I don't know if any of these coaches have had a chance to vacation a little bit, and now they're getting back into it, but that would be officially turning the page as well. So, yeah, I think most of the league, except for the two teams that are in the Super Bowl, are turning the page to next year.
I don't think – I'm trying to remember – I don't think Sean McDermott went to the Senior Bowl last year, right?
I think
he got
so.
Hired in mid-January. The Senior Bowl was about a week later. I don't think he went. He was still putting together his staff. It did not go. The scouting staff did, but I don't think Sean McDermott did. I'm sure he's been there in the past through his tenure with Carolina and the Philadelphia Eagles, but he's there as the head coach of the Bills, and Chris Brown's going to be there when he meets with the media, 4:30 this afternoon. We'll carry a lot of those comments on the show tomorrow, but, of course, you can pick up all of that on our website, buffalobills.com, on Twitter and on Facebook, on the Bills Facebook and Twitter.
I saw this
pages.
Morning that – Baker Mayfield missed the
Yeah, missed his flight, got in late or something. Yeah. Travel issues, not there.
Well, Ian Rapoport actually said it was something with his family. Had some family
issues. Oh, I didn't know that.
Or something
I thought
like
it was
that.
A travel thing.
Yeah, and he's supposed to get in later on today. So, you know, that's your first headline coming out of Mobile.
Yeah, Josh Allen met with the media last night and talked to the media. We'll hear some of his comments, the Wyoming quarterback who hopes to make a big splash in the Senior Bowl. And all of that coming up. Our Senior Bowl coverage begins today. Later on in the week, starting tomorrow, I believe we'll have coverage from the Pro Bowl in Orlando, Florida. We've got a crew down there as well with just a couple of Bills down there. Richie Incognito is there. LaShawn Shady McCoy is there representing the Bills. Micah Hyde pulled out yesterday, officially withdrew yesterday as he made the Pro Bowl for the first time in his career. But Richie's there and Shady McCoy is there.
Jason Walsh, Donald, suck it up today. You fell skiing. It's not heart surgery.
It's a good one, yeah. That's the Belichick line.
That's the Belichick line. First of all, Jason. I wasn't sick because I fell skiing. I was actually really sick. But I do feel better. I sucked it up yesterday. I'm sucking it up today, and I'm here. I didn't miss any days.
You ought to have that thin skin looked at, too, I think, while you're at it. Doctor. Yeah, I hurt from my fall, but can you look at this thin skin? Come on,
look at
man.
This thin skin.
It's Twitter. You're going to get
I know.
Killed on Twitter
I'm
all
joking
the time.
With him as well.
We all do.
Mm-hmm.
Grow up, man. Grow, you know. You can't be thin-skinned if you're going to be out there like you are. Somebody tweeted something at me the yesterday about I don't know what we were talking about yesterday. I'll find it. You know, just kind of saying that I was short or dismissive of callers or something. I really don't think. Yeah, do you think I am? I don't think I am. Just because I don't agree doesn't mean that I'm dismissive. I listen to what people say and I think about it a little bit.
I mean,
here it is. The Blade Runner tweets. A little. Blade Runner, 12 hours ago. One of your callers tried to explain this exact thing to you on Monday's show, talking about Marone and the way he handled the clock and game situations. And the Blade Runner says, you failed to grasp it. Please read and be a little less dismissive with your callers. I don't find myself dismissive. I read everything. I take stuff home and read it. I listen to what people say. Just because I'm not going to agree with every caller.
No,
some callers don't know what they're talking about. Some do.
I mean, we get some – I love our callers. And please continue to call up.
Yeah.
We get some calls up here. We're like, whoa.
Yeah.
All right.
And those are the
where
ones
did that just
I dismiss.
Go?
Hey, we'll take your calls today about our topic and about anything, really. Our topic deals with the Super Bowl, kind of. You know what the Super Bowl matchup is, the Eagles from the NFC, the Patriots from the AFC. And now that you think about that, and now that we're really 3 weeks removed – from the Bills season, 2.5 weeks since the end of the Bills season. I wonder how you think the Bills stack up as far as Super Bowl contenders. The thought occurred to me today. We're about 3 weeks away, Donald, 3 weeks and a couple days from the euphoria, from the over-the-top. I mean, think where we were a couple of weeks ago. People were over the moon about the Bills finally qualifying for the playoffs and the playoff drought ending. I mean, it was crazy. That week was nuts around here. It was big. It was huge. It was wonderful, the reaction, the people sharing the reaction. But now we're a couple of weeks removed. And now with the Senior Bowl starting this week, you start to take more of a cold-eyed look at who the Bills are, what they did this year, and what they need moving forward. And you can compare them to the Super Bowl-caliber teams or the teams deep in the playoffs. So it's a long way of saying, after seeing this year's Super Bowl matchup, Eagles and Patriots, and knowing what the Bills did this year, knowing that they broke the playoff drought, knowing their strengths and their weaknesses, and they have a lot of weaknesses, how far do you feel the Bills are from Super Bowl contention? That's our Twitter poll that's up right now. After seeing this year's matchup, how far away are the Buffalo Bills from Super Bowl contention? We got a Twitter poll up, and right now about 63% of you, almost two-thirds, say they still need several pieces. 34% say the Bills are just a quarterback away from Super Bowl contention. 3%, just 3%, believe they are contenders now. What do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Knowing what you know about the Bills season that just ended 2.5 weeks ago, and knowing what you know about Super Bowl contenders this year, Patriots and Eagles, and even if you want to throw in the Vikings and the Jaguars, How far away are the Bills from being true contenders for a Super Bowl? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. We'd love to talk to you about it. I promise not to be dismissive of any callers today. Even if I dismiss you from the line, I will not be dismissive. I will just say thank you very much. Click. But give us a call. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. How far away are the Buffalo Bills from true Super Bowl contention? You want to start with this?
Yeah, I'll start.
Go.
I think they're a couple of pieces away. I think
just
they're a
couple.
I'm going to say a few pieces away. Number one, yeah, you need a quarterback. Now, you probably could have made it with Tyrod Taylor if everything goes the right way, but I do think you do need a franchise quarterback there. I think you need a number one wide receiver there. I think you need some more depth at the linebacker position, at the defensive line position. I think you're a few pieces away from being able to – and you need a backup running back. So I think you're a few pieces away from being able to say this is a Super Bowl contending team.
I think several pieces. If I had to vote on our Twitter poll, I'd go several pieces away. You're saying a few, which is somewhere in between, what, a quarter? I don't know where. I don't know how to quantify
it. Yeah, I don't know what a few is.
Yeah, I don't know what a few is.
But I'd say several as well.
I agree with everything you said as far as what's needed. You know, quarterback is needed, obviously, to be a true Super Bowl contender. Depth at the linebacker, obviously, starting caliber depth, really, at linebacker. Defensive line help. Maybe some offensive line help on the right side in particular. A backup running back, we talked about that. A wide receiver. I would say there's several pieces. They need several pieces. But I do want to make this point, which is why I understand why some people, only 3%, some people might say they're contenders now. The difference between Super Bowl contention and where the Bills were, wild card entry, not that great. It's not a huge gulf. Just as the difference between a wild card playoff qualifier, like the Bills were this year, and teams that are out of the playoffs, like the Bills were not for 17 consecutive seasons, not that big a gap. Mm-hmm. And I think people miss that all the time. Were the Jacksonville Jaguars significantly better than the Buffalo Bills this year? 10-3 winners over the Bills 2 weeks ago in the playoffs. I don't think they were, and yet they played all their way to they played their way to the AFC Championship game. I think people sometimes overestimate the gap between Super Bowl contenders, playoff teams, and teams that are on the fringe of the playoffs, which is why through the 17 season playoff drought, you know, I never thought it was like the Bills are miserable. They're a sad sack franchise. No, they didn't get any breaks. They had some bad, questionable decision-making. There were a couple years when they were miserable teams and were sad sacks. But for the most part, they were somewhere between 6, 7, 8, 9 wins. This year, they won 9 and got help from Cincinnati. Boom, they're in the playoffs. So I would say the Bills need several pieces to be true quality Super Bowl contenders, and especially if they want to maintain that and sustain that over a couple of years. But I don't think it's as if it's this huge mountain that'll take years to climb. I really don't believe that.
Right. I think when you look at the Eagles, for instance, that is a team that has a very good defense, very strong running game. They brought in 2 running backs this year from the outside, and that was huge for them. They brought in some receivers from the outside. That was huge for them. They have 2 guys. Everybody else is under contract. They have 2 guys that are going to be free agents, and they're not even big-name guys. So that's a team that really is poised for Super Bowl contention. Oh, and they have a young Carson Wentz at quarterback who got hurt, and I'll get to that in a second, but they have a young Carson Wentz that everybody believes he's already an elite quarterback. And you talk to a lot of national reporters, they're like, this kid is an elite quarterback, top 5 quarterback in this league already. So if you had that in place, you have a team that can go to the Super Bowl or at least be in the playoffs every year, year after year after year. Now, the Dallas Cowboys thought they had the same thing last year. So we'll see how that plays out for the Eagles next year. But getting back to Carson Wentz, I think another thing that they have is Carson Wentz got hurt. They bring in Nick Foles, and Nick Foles now is being talked about as possibly getting a huge payday.
Yeah.
You know, as your backup quarterback, this dude is playing lights out. Got the team to the Super Bowl, had a great game in the AFC Championship game, and now people are saying, well, if he can go on and beat the Patriots, he's going to be one of the top free agents on the market, maybe the top quarterback free agent on the market, you know? So I think that is a team that you can say, okay, that's a perennial playoff team right there, a team that can make a run for the Super Bowl every year. You look at the Steelers, so much depth at so many different positions. That is a team that can make it every year. The Patriots, we know about. I think the Bills – this year they got in the playoffs, but there are so many question marks and you have so many free agents that I don't think you can say this is a team that, not as of right now, you could say that's a team that you could see being in the playoffs every year.
Right. No, I agree. Bills aren't there. But what do you think? Give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. How far away are the Bills from Super Bowl contention? They've made the playoffs. The drought is over. But what about the next step? How much do they need? How far away are they? Is it just a quarterback? Would that put them in? Is it several pieces? Or do you think they're contenders now? Lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A couple of replies on Twitter, VMRO716. Clearly, it's not the quarterback, as too many teams that have made it have had average quarterbacks at best. If this trend continues, or if Foles pulls this out, it totally shifts the most important position on the field debate. We had a Twitter poll about that last week.
Right.
Is are we reassessing what you know, the caliber of quarterback you need to be a championship level contender? I think our consensus from the people who voted and the callers we took, and my belief is no, do not throw that away. You do need a good caliber quarterback, elite maybe not, but you need a good consistent quarterback to be a Super Bowl contender. I don't know if the Bills are there with Tyrod Taylor right now. I don't think they are.
I mean, you look at who you were just talking about, the Jacksonville Jaguars. The reason that they did the certain things that they did throughout the course of that game is because I don't think they believed in the quarterback enough. Mm-hmm. And so that put them in a tough situation, because now we're in a situation where, and I don't know, they might have just wanted to go conservative anyway, but when you don't have the guy who that's pulling the trigger, who you can trust is going to make the right decisions, is going to make the right plays for you, is going to make not always the big play, but the right play, when you have that guy who you truly trust and is your franchise quarterback, it can really help you throughout the course of a game like that. When you don't have that guy, it puts you in a bind and makes you one-dimensional. And so I think right now the Bills are in that situation where I don't know if they feel like they have the franchise quarterback, but I think they are a one-dimensional team, and that's why you end up 31st in passing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to say that you have to have an elite quarterback to make it to the Super Bowl or to be a Super Bowl contending team. You can have a great defense and get to the Super Bowl one year, but that's not going to get you there every year. And you're not going to consistently win games in this league without having that true franchise guy, a guy that you trust to pull the trigger all the time.
How far away are the Bills from Super Bowl contention? Give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Skywalker tweets this in. Let's see. If the Bills don't sign Gaines, they need a cornerback, defensive tackle, offensive tackle, linebacker, quarterback, backup running back, if Cadet isn't with us, and an elite wide receiver. That's the list. That's the added-to-the-list that we've been talking about for a month or so. Stung17 tweets in, they are Drew Brees away. Nah, I disagree with that. I don't think you need Drew Brees. I don't think you need Tom Brady to be a Super Bowl contender. Obviously, you don't. But you need better quarterbacking than the Bills have received and a much more effective passing game. Ex-Buffalo tweets in, every NFL team is always a quarterback away. No, I disagree with that as well. Lead the Stampede's tweet, getting a quarterback is priority number one, but they have many holes. The defensive front seven needs help, mainly speed and athleticism at linebacker, a more consistent pass rusher and defensive tackle, especially if Kyle Williams hangs it up. We'll also need speed at wide receiver and Shady's understudy. Continue to build and trust the process. Okay, that's the prescription, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, right. I mean, he hit everything there. The one person said every team is a quarterback away. I mean, you look at teams like the Colts, they feel like they have their guy. You look at Oakland Raiders, they feel like they have their
guy.
They're
not a quarterback away.
Right, they're not a quarterback away. They have a bunch of other pieces that they need to get situated. So you can have the franchise quarterback and still be terrible as a team.
Yeah.
You know, you have to. That's why it's a team sport. The franchise quarterback might be able to pull you through a couple of games, but you can't consistently just rely on that guy to win every single game unless you're the Packers.
How far away are the Bills from Super Bowl contention? Bills and Mets fan tweets, if we had Alex Smith this year, we'd have beaten the Jags, and I'd like our chances against the Patriots in week two of the playoffs. There's a case to be made there. I think with Alex Smith, who is not an elite-level quarterback, is probably on the fringe of franchise quarterback status. Yeah, I agree with that. He would have made the Bills a much better team this year and probably certainly would have beaten the Jaguars and maybe given – I mean, he already beat New England with his Chiefs team. Maybe he does that with the Bills team, too. That's an interesting discussion.
I think there would have been some plays that weren't made with Alex Smith, and I'm talking about plays, obviously, with Tyrod Taylor's legs that he made. But then there would be other plays that would have been made, certain throws that Tyrod is reluctant to actually throw in there. Alex Smith might make that throw, and he's made it in the past time in, timeout. And I think that he was playing at an MVP type of level, and then they went really on this skid, and so he fell out of that contention. But, yeah, I think Alex Smith is a quarterback that he's going to be coveted this year in free agency. Somebody's going to want him. If he's a bridge type of quarterback, it is what it is at this point. I think he's kind of just accepted where he is in this league. Right. But at the same time, I think he can help to win you some games.
Taking your phone calls on this topic, and you can vote on our Twitter poll. How far away are the Bills from true Super Bowl contention? Lines are open at 803-0550 or toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Tweet from Nick Blake, interesting. He says, we're contenders now. Or a quarterback and a number one wide receiver away, enter Alex Smith and go get a number one in free agency or the draft. And then Crow tweets in, I really disagree when people say we need a number one receiver. Yes, we need a speed receiver, but Kelvin Benjamin is a clear number one in my eyes. It all depends on what your definition of a number one receiver is. I wouldn't get too hung up on that. I see what the Crow means in his tweet. Kelvin Benjamin is a quality, good, top-ranked NFL receiver, but he's not a speed threat, a deep threat, and you need that. It's the next piece you need to complement this wide receiving core. They need probably a couple of pieces in the wide receiving core. So whether you want to call him number one or 1A or number two or whatever, I think we all know what type of receiver the Bills need to complement Kelvin Benjamin.
They need somebody who can get down the field, take the top off of the defense. Like you said, to complement Kelvin, to complement Zay Jones, whoever else is out there going to be running routes to help out LeSean McCoy, you need somebody to threaten the defense deep. Kelvin Benjamin does not do that. Can you get him the ball deep? Yeah, you can. But he's more of a guy that you're going to use in certain situations, a possession type of receiver.
Red zone.
Yeah, red zone type of guy.
First and goal from 1.5.
He doesn't have that speed. And then ultimately.
Sorry. I had to throw that in. First and goal, 1.5, you know, in a really low-scoring playoff game.
Right, exactly. That's why you bring him in here. But I think ultimately you need your number one receiver to be healthy and be on the field. And that's something that has plagued Kelvin Benjamin since he came into the league. He's had a few seasons where he's had real injuries that have kept him off the field. It's the same thing with Sammy Watkins. You've had a couple of injuries that have kept you off the field, and that's when people start to doubt if you are a number one wide receiver. Guys like a Julio Jones, who people will say, that guy can do everything. He can take the top off the defense, he can work underneath, but he's durable. He's always on the field for them.
How far away are the Bills from Super Bowl contention? What do you think? What do they need? Give us a call. Line's open, 803-0550, and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. I think sometimes people get hung up and think you need to be a near-perfect team to make it to the Super Bowl. No. No, you do not. And I think, even though I think the Bills need several pieces to get sustained success, I do think they can get those pieces this offseason, as a matter of fact. I think the foundation is laid for what they want to build, the type of player they want, the type of work ethic they have, the type of culture they want to establish here. That foundation has been put in place, and I think even people on Twitter are listing what they need. I would agree with virtually all of that. But you can get that with 5 picks in the first 3 rounds and a little bit of smart spending in free agency. You really can. You can get it in 1 year, which is not to say they're Super Bowl contenders next year, but I don't think they're as far away as you might think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Kevin in Buffalo on the line with us. Kevin, what do you think of this question? How far away are the Bills from Super Bowl contention?
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Great.
I think they need some pieces. I think you're a quarterback away. I think they need 2 defensive linemen. I think they need an offensive starting lineman and a backup offensive lineman. And I think you're a speedster receiver. Doesn't have to be a number one receiver, but a quick receiver on the outside to help get the pressure off. And I think that you get them pieces, which with all them picks in free agency, I think they can make a run here.
Yeah, and in like a time frame of what, Kevin? 2 years? What do you think?
Yeah, I think with the 5 picks and some free agency, you can plug 3 or 4 of them holes this year and then continue on with that next year. I think at the end of next year, I think the Bills should be sitting in a pretty good position to be a contender.
I think you might be right there, Kevin.
Yeah,
I like his timetable, too, a couple of years away.
If they do everything the right way. Now, like you were just saying, they can make this stuff happen. These guys, Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean, can truly – they have shown that they are not afraid to make any moves. So I wouldn't be shocked if they were able to make it happen this year.
Yeah.
It's not that they don't care, but they will make trades. They will do what they have to do to upgrade the team at any point during the season, in the off season. So we'll see how it plays out in free agency. We'll see how it plays out in the draft. all of that stuff. And we always get caught up in, you know, do they want to pay this person that much money? I think the Pegulas have shown that they can be a little creative and making it work under the salary cap and all of that stuff. So I think they Coach McDermott is not going to want to take a step back. He made it to the playoffs in his first year. He's going to want to get a step further in the playoffs, you know. So they're going to do what they have to do to make this team better. But there are certain pieces that you need on this team. And we'll see if they're able to bring that in via free agency, via the draft, and how that actually works out. I think another thing, we always get caught up in the premium picks in the first, you know, the five picks in the first three rounds. But you look at a guy like Matt Milano, I mean, you can find these guys in the later rounds as well. Mm-hmm. And so all of these draft picks will count, and we'll see how good they do in this year's draft.
Yeah, I think the timetable is critical, too. And as the caller pointed out, as Dennis pointed out, maybe just two seasons away from true, you know, championship-level contending. The playoff jinx is over, obviously. The drought is over. Mm-hmm. But what about the next step, getting to where they need to be in Super Bowl contention? How far away do you think this team is?
I think there's a few pieces away, but I think the best thing that they have in place, and this goes back to when we were debating about, you know, coaches versus players, or you know what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
You look at a team like the Dolphins, who made a run last year, went into the playoffs, coming back, they got all of this talent on that team. Like a lot of talent, offensively and defensively. Obviously they lost their
quarterback.
They bring in Jay Cutler, who you can feel how you want to feel about him.
They still had
a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah.
You know, and to see how they actually finished out the season, that can let you know that, you know, talent matters, but the coaching staff, and this goes to your point, but the coaching staff has to put certain things in place. And I think the fact that they created this foundation of the work ethic, of that discipline here, goes a long way to this team continuing to be around the playoffs or in the playoffs.
We're asking you today to make an assessment of these Super Bowl contenders this year, Patriots and the Eagles, and even, you know, if you want to go back last week to the Jaguars and Minnesota Vikings, and to assess how far away the Bills are from that, from Super Bowl contention. I would think that the four teams in the championship games are bona fide Super Bowl contenders. Are the Bills getting close to that? What do you think? That's our Twitter poll. We'd love to hear your voice on the telephone line at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Also, coming up in the next segment, a little check-in with the Senior Bowl. Josh Allen, Wyoming quarterback, an interesting, intriguing prospect, maybe a first-round quarterback prospect. We'll hear from him in his news conference last night in Mobile, Alabama. That's coming up when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Back with Donald Jones, John Murphy, Donald Jones, in our One Buffalo studio. We've got Trey Wingo from ESPN coming up on the show at 1 o'clock today. Steve Tasker joining us at 2. Chris Brown will be reporting live from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, coming up at 2:15. Thinking back to your Senior Bowl days, Donald, it was a week, right? 10 years ago? How long ago?
Yeah.
Seven years ago?
I didn't get in until Tuesday.
How long? Was it 2010?
2010.
Eight years ago.
Is that? Yeah, it's 2018.
You're an old man.
Man.
you rolled into Mobile Tuesday. You looked around and said, wow, Mobile, what a cool place.
What a cool place. And it was crazy because when I got there, I had to go straight from the airport to practice. I didn't get a chance like the rest of the guys to weigh in. Today was the weigh-ins and all that mm-hmm. stuff. I didn't get
I
to
think
do all of
that
stuff.
Most guys got in yesterday.
Yeah, those guys all got in yesterday. They weigh in on stage. For me, it was, we need you to hurry up, put your stuff in your hotel, go weigh in real quick by yourself, and then get out there to the practice field. So I was in there, and I had – luckily, I knew a bunch of the guys just from being from Jersey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a bunch of guys in the mm-hmm. game from Jersey.
Sure, there always is.
I knew a bunch of the guys, and so they helped me with the entire process, but it was a lot, and my head was spinning. I probably saw you down – were you down
there? I was not
there
in 2010.
Oh, okay. But there's so many different teams, and there are so many different people with different jackets. You and I could walk down there right now, and a player is going to think that we are scouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're looking at you, and you're looking at them, and they don't know what to say to you. It's like everybody's on edge, and the ones that can actually relax a little bit are the ones that actually have good weeks, and they'll go on to have a good game and all that stuff.
Think about the Senior Bowl, too, though, and I was there, I think, what, 12, 13, 14, no, 13, 14, 15, four straight years. The prospects who were there are not the surefire prospects, not, you know, guys come out early, they're going to get drafted, and they know their first rounds. The guys who are there may or may not be first-round prospects.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And they're all still in the – not that no one mails it in, but they're all very much, it seemed to me, at the Senior Bowl in the mode of, I got to prove myself this week. I got something to show this week.
Yeah.
And obviously everybody goes to the combine wanting to do well, but there are certain guys, you know, early entrants, underclassmen, a spectacular college career, certain guys who are like, I just got to get through this because I know I'm a first-rounder. Not the case at the Senior Bowl, it seems to me.
No, at the Senior Bowl, the reason you go to the Senior Bowl is because you feel like you still have something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a guy who was a surefire first rounder, and you're a senior, you're probably not going to go because you don't want to hurt your status, and you don't want to get hurt in the game, number one. But guys who are surefire first rounders, they usually come out in their junior years, their junior
right.
years. And so they don't even get a chance to get to their senior year to go to this game. The guys that are, and I think back to the guys that played in the Senior Bowl with me that ended up being first rounders. Kyle Wilson was a first rounder with the Jets. Devin McCourty was there. We had Tim Tebow. He played in the game. That were first rounders. We had a linebacker that went to the Falcons. I can't remember his name. He was the captain on our team. You remember Dorian Dickinson? Dorian
mm-hmm.
Dickinson?
Yeah.
He was there. He wasn't a first rounder, obviously, but he played on the game with me.
Was
Antonio
like
Brown was on.
Fullback,
yeah.
H-back type
yeah.
guy, yeah.
Antonio Brown was on my team. Jacoby, I mean, we had a lot of guys, but I think maybe eight went in the first round, if that. So you don't get, like, the best of the best talent in this game, but you'll get some guys that will be drafted in this game, and you'll also have a bunch of guys that go undrafted that play in this mm-hmm. game, like I did.
And that's why the Senior Bowl is an interesting atmosphere because players are like earnest. And like you said, they don't know who – if they see you in a Bills thing, they want to put out their best foot
yeah,
forward. They
yeah.
want to show well in the workouts and the practices and then even, you know, hanging around the hotel doing interviews with
right.
slugs like me.
Vlad Dukas played in that game.
Yeah.
He was a second rounder to the Jets that year, but
yeah.
he played in that game. I mean –
that was big for him, right, coming from a medium to small
from,
size
yeah,
school.
From UMass.
UMass
and
yeah.
he went there and really performed as Deion Dawkins did last year. And then found himself drafted in the second round.
Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen goes to the Senior Bowl with a lot to prove, and he met with the media already down in Mobile. Josh Allen talked about how he reacted to the buzz surrounding his last season at Wyoming and where he might expect to go in the draft. Here's what he had to tell the media in Mobile.
I didn't really follow it, but you know, it kind of found its way to me with more media attention and, you know, ESPN crews and CBS crews coming out every other week. So it definitely played into the pressure. I'm the type of guy who wants the pressure. You know, being a quarterback, you got to love those situations, especially like you can link it to being down in the fourth quarter late trying to go win a game. You know, and I'm the type of person who wants it on my shoulders, and, you know, I'm always going to be like that. It's not about going as high as possible. It's going as high as possible to the right team. So if I'm not the right fit for the Browns, that's fine with me. I understand that, you know, some people fit schemes differently. If I'm a better fit somewhere else, and I belong at that other place. So it's not about getting drafted high for me. It's about, you know, getting, like I said, drafted to the right team.
Hmm. Josh Allen, Wyoming quarterback, and the reason why he is talking about the Browns and possibly talking about being number one overall, I believe, is because just last week, Mel Kiper Jr. had him the number one pick, right, on his mock draft. First mock draft, Josh Allen from Wyoming, the quarterback, was the number one pick. That'd be a little pressure to live up to going to the Senior Bowl this week.
It's a lot of pressure. He's trying to play it down. A very politically correct answer right there. It's not about being the highest. It's about going to the right team. And you want to end up at the right team, but you can't fool us. We all know that
yeah.
if you're a player in college, your dream is to be the number one overall pick. What? Everybody, I'm a quarterback from Wyoming, and I get to be the number one overall pick? I mean, come on, that's the real deal right there. But we'll see how it works out for him. But that was a very politically correct answer.
In opposition to UCLA's Josh Rosen, who has pretty much publicly said he doesn't want to be number one, doesn't want to go to Cleveland.
He's on his Eli Manning.
Right.
No.
Don't choose me, Cleveland.
Don't choose me. I'm not playing.
Josh Allen, you know, he's going to have to answer some questions on the field and off today. And one of the questions will be about his caliber of competition at Wyoming and his completion percentage, 56.1% career completion percentage at Wyoming. And Allen talked about some of the concerns about his accuracy coming into this week at the Senior Bowl.
I'm way more accurate than that shows. And, you know, that's what I'm cleaning up in this offseason to show everybody, you know, come practice time that I've been working on that. And, you know, the key to my accuracy is making sure my feet are set right and trying to have a more, you know, polished throwing motion, a more polished, you know, stroke, you can say. So, you know, when my feet are right, my hips are allowed to open a little better, which, you know, that's kind of where your accuracy comes from. So getting out there in front of all the scouts and GMs in practice is going to show that.
Josh Allen, obviously, he's been schooled.
I was just about to say, right? It's so interesting when you watch these guys because you can tell that they've been working with somebody on this, even just the media part of it, because they do. When you're going through the training, which these guys have now been training in Florida, wherever it is that they're training, they have guys that come in. They have psychologists. They have people that come in that will just do whole media sessions with you so we can train you on what to say in the media. So you can tell he's saying all of the right things right now in the media so that and it's hard because you don't want to slip up and say the wrong thing.
Right.
And that's when you end up slipping up and saying the wrong thing. But then when you get out there on the field, a guy like Josh Allen, who he knows everybody's looking at him and everybody's looking at his accuracy, he gets out there now in one-on-ones and he's way off the mark because – all he's thinking about is, I want to be accurate.
Right.
I just want to be accurate.
Did you see he was doing media training at the Senior Bowl? Did I tell you this morning?
No.
I just saw it this morning. Our buddy Jerry Madelon
really
is training all of the Senior Bowl prospects in media training.
Really?
Jerry, who's worked with us, obviously he has much more success with Donald than he has with me, but he's worked with, right? No, he's good. He knows the former ESPN executive that hired him down at the Senior Bowl.
Jerry's cool.
G-Matt, I saw a picture of him addressing a bunch of Senior Bowl prospects down there in Mobile this
week.
Really?
Yeah, Jerry's a cool guy. He's
probably taking tapes of our show and showing them how good you are. And how
he might.
Yeah.
Knowing Jerry, he might.
Here's what you could be.
Yeah, he does a lot of traveling. He goes all over the place. He's teaching different teams, guys on the teams, the coaches. He was here, obviously, as everybody knows. He was helping out with the team here and making sure that everything is all good here. I mean, that dude is a busy dude. He travels a lot.
Yeah, he's down there at the Senior Bowl this week. Hey, back to our Twitter poll, and we want to hear from you. Just how far away are the Buffalo Bills from true Super Bowl contention? You see this year's Super Bowl contestants, right? And you just wonder, are the Bills there? Are they close to there? After seeing this year's matchup, how far away are the Bills from Super Bowl contention? On Twitter, 63% of you say, you know, they still need several pieces. 34% say they're just a quarterback away. 3% believe the Bills are contenders. Now, what do you think? You can weigh in on Twitter. You can vote in our Twitter poll. Or you can ring us up at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550.
I wonder what Brian Daboll is doing right now. I mean, we know they're down there at the Senior Bowl, but is he just paying attention to quarterbacks? Is he paying attention to them closely? Just the quarterbacks? I'm sure he's looking at everybody, but I need to get a real good look at these quarterbacks.
I hope so. I hope that's what he's doing. Here's Ron in Virginia, who has some thoughts on how far away the Bills are. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, John. Hey, Donald. How y'all doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you.
My thoughts are this. One, I like Tyrod, but I think that we do need a new quarterback. I do love Tyrod. I think that maybe we should try to go get Martavis Bryant from Pittsburgh because I know that he wanted out of Pittsburgh. Mm. Maybe a couple line pieces. And I think maybe one or two defensive pieces. But I think we're ready, man. We could have beat Jacksonville. We could have beat Carolina in a regular season. We should have beat the Chargers. And if you put those games, that's a wild card, higher seed wild card. That would have brought us to the Steelers. I think we could have went, you know, all the way down and possibly beat New England. You know, everybody wants to beat New England. I'm tired of them winning personally, but
yeah,
you know. I think we're almost there. I'd say about a year, maybe 2 years, but I think we're right where we need. Get a quarterback, maybe a wide receiver like you guys are saying, and we should be good. But I do love Tyrod.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
Here's a question for everybody out there. If you think you're a year or two or 3 years away, let's just say, how far – because you might have to take a step back. How far of a step back are you willing to take to get the quarterback that you need? In your mind, how far would you be willing to step back as a franchise to get that guy?
Now, let's think this through for a second, and I have a question. By stepping back, I'm guessing you're thinking you draft a quarterback this year and you play him, maybe not right away, but soon enough so that you might not – he might likely not going to be a finished product ready to win right away.
Right.
So you take that step back, chalk it up as quarterback development – and take the lumps that go with quarterback development in order to be better down the road a year or two?
I think that's
– I'm good with that.
You good with that?
I'm good with that step back. Okay. Now, I don't want to see a free agent, stopgap free agent signed in here and then take a step back.
Right.
What's the point?
Right.
And Tyrod, I could live, I guess, if he came back, but I think I feel like I'd rather see him turn the page, draft a guy, develop a guy, commit to developing, maybe play somebody else a little bit. Maybe Tyrod can play in front of him. Maybe that would work. But I would take a step back if I knew that they were getting development time out of a quarterback. That would be the only condition where I would say, okay, I get it.
Hopefully, if they're going to take a quarterback, they get the right guy, and then they do develop that guy. I mean, there have been guys in the past that they have moved on from. Possibly you could have given them some more time, but it is what it is. When you're changing coaches, that's what happens. But hopefully they get the right guy in here. They do develop him. Because, I mean, you look at a team that's in the Super Bowl right now, in the Eagles, they took Carson Wentz number two overall, which everybody, he probably should have went number one overall, but they take him number two overall, so he falls right into their laps. I don't know if they expected him to be where he is right now
right. In
his second year in the league. I mean, that's just like icing on the cake right there. This dude is great already.
Yeah.
He has a long way to go, and we'll see if he can – you know, stay healthy, number one, and we'll see if he can really continue that success, sustain that success throughout the rest of his career. But this dude is looking like a true franchise quarterback. I don't think they expected that. They probably thought they were going to take a step back
right. Until
he started to show signs of, ooh, all right, we got something here. So we'll see what they do in this year's draft and how quickly that draft pick can come along.
One thing I do not want to see a step back for is – and you said something about a coaching change. In that case, that would drive me crazy. We've had enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Settle down. This is the coach. No matter what you think about fourth down decisions, punts, blah, 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 this is your coach. This is your general manager. Let's stick with them for 5 years or more
right. And
see where you are. No more steps back.
No more steps. And I don't – because you don't – if you're drafting a quarterback, you need the same coaching staff in place all the way through. Mm-hmm. Quarterback coach, offensive coordinator. I mean, you need the same guys in place so that you can truly develop that guy. Carson Wentz has truly benefited from having a Frank Wright there and a Doug Peterson, those coaches in place. Now, it's only his second year, but if you start to change offensive coordinator after offensive coordinator, now you got a new playbook. And a new playbook, that's what that quarterback has to think about. I got to learn a new playbook. I'm still trying to develop in the NFL as a quarterback. But at the same time, I got to learn this new playbook. It's tough to do.
Right. How far away are the Bills from Super Bowl contention? Can we talk about that now that the Bills have ended the playoff jinx, the playoffs drought? I would think so. I think we can talk about it. None of us suggest that they're there, at least only 3% on Twitter, and neither Donald or I. But where do you think? How far away are they from true contention as a Super Bowl team? We're going to talk about that when we return. You're welcome to join us with the phone lines open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Back with more of the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back, John Murphy, Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio. The Senior Bowl is ongoing. We're going to hear more from Chris Brown and some of the other prospects down there as the show moves along. We're talking about the Bills. How far away are they from playoff contention? And Donald brought up the point a second ago. How big of a step back are you willing to take to guarantee long-term playoff contention? Some interesting tweets on this.
Yeah, I mean, you got Corey Fontaine, my man Corey Fontaine. I'd happily watch the Bills go 0-16 next year if it could guarantee that they would get another Jim Kelly next year.
Ooh.
0-16?
Not me. I don't think I can handle 0-16.
I mean, the way the Bills were for the last 17 years, for most of the last 17 years, 8-win team, 7-8, 9 wins. I mean, they only won 9 this year.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's where you end up next year and you're not in the playoffs, I'm good with that. But going 0-something or 1-something, that is a rough, depressing
game. Yeah, that's not good. Daryl calling from Buffalo. Daryl, what do you think? How far away from Super Bowl contention are these Buffalo Bills?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I believe that if you're speaking on this year, the 17-18 season, I believe that the Bills could have made the Super Bowl this year. I think their defense was worthy. Defenses win championships, but I think that Rick Dennison just wasn't a great fit. You know, I didn't really like his play calling. I don't think he was aggressive enough. I think Tyrod could have made the Super Bowl as our quarterback this year. If we're speaking into the future, I believe that we do need a new quarterback. But I think our defense is right there. You know, maybe keep E.J. Gaines. And I think our secondary is just stellar. But I think if we didn't have Rick Dennison, we could have made it this year if we had a better OC.
You're saying Rick Dennison kept the Bills out of the Super Bowl? His presence.
I think that – no, I don't think he kept him out of the Super Bowl. I mean, obviously, you know, he got 9 wins with him. But I just don't think he was a great fit with the run, the zone blocking scheme. I think that hamstrung us early. We probably could have won more games had we just stuck with what we did last year with the run game. You know, I just don't like a lot of the play calling that he made this year.
Hmm.
You know, as far as, like, the running out of the backfield and the plays with Tolbert, I don't know.
Darryl, not to be dismissive, but I think you're overestimating the importance of play calling, and you might be underestimating how much work the Bills need to do on defense. The numbers don't tell you everything, but the Bills were 26th overall in defense this past year, 29th against the run. That's third from the bottom, right? Fourth from the bottom against the run. They've got some work to do in front seven, I think, on defense, some holes to plug.
If you remember, I mean, in that whole three-game skid that they went in, they weren't tackling, number one, but they couldn't stop the run.
Yeah.
And we kept saying, man, is it the departure of Marcell Dareus? If you remember, we were going back and forth on that.
Yeah.
Why can't they stop the run? They were great in the run in the beginning of the season. Now they can't stop the run at all. So, no, they definitely have some work to do up front, and that's why I believe I said yesterday I wouldn't be shocked. Or if I didn't say it, I'm saying it now. I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't go quarterback in the first round. If they went with, and we know Coach McDermott is a defensive coach and wants to be able to get pressure up front. He also wants to be able to stop the run with the front four. So you have the front four that you probably need to work on. Then you have the linebackers behind them. You got Preston Brown, who's a free agent. You probably need some speed at that position. So, I wouldn't be shocked if they went with a defensive lineman, defensive end, linebacker in the first round. It just wouldn't shock me. I know we all think, man, you need to get a quarterback. They might have totally different plans.
Yep. Hey, we're going to talk about the Bills and the NFL and the Super Bowl with our next guest coming up after the top of the hour. Trey Wingo, the host of ESPN's NFL Live, standing by to join us. Also the co-host of Golic and Wingo on ESPN2 and ESPN Radio. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Trey Wingo joins us live on the line, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive, where we're in the middle of the show here, and a lot of football news from outside One Bills Drive. Bills safety Micah Hyde has decided to withdraw from the Pro Bowl this year. First time he made the Pro Bowl, but he's got to wait. He could not pass the season-ending physical after he was injured, a concussion suffered in the playoff game at Jacksonville. His replacement in the Pro Bowl will be safety Kevin Byard of the Tennessee Titans. In Mobile, it's the first practice day on the field at the Senior Bowl. More than 100 prospects have assembled there to work out in front of scouts, coaches, and executives. The Bills are there. Head coach Sean McDermott will address the media in Mobile later today after the first afternoon practice. We'll have McDermott's comments on BuffaloBills.com on Facebook and Twitter. GM Brandon Bean, new offensive coordinator Brian Daboll, also in Mobile. They'll meet with the media there later today. Bills insider Chris Brown joins us live on the show at 2:15 today to talk about the Senior Bowl. Former Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen says the Senior Bowl week is a big one for him. He says he doesn't care about going as high as he can, even though he has been linked to the number one pick overall by Mel Kiper Jr. In the NFL, late yesterday, the Giants hired Vikings offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur as the 18th head coach in team history. Shurmur reportedly got a 5-year contract. The Browns have hired ex-Steelers offensive coordinator Todd Haley to run their offense. He will call the plays, a role that Hugh Jackson served in his first 2 years with the Browns. And the New England Patriots will wear the road white jerseys in Super Bowl 52 against the Eagles. The Patriots made that announcement today. Buffalo Sabres, coming off a 2-1 overtime win last night at Calgary, move on for game two of their 3-game Pacific Division road trip tonight. They're in Edmonton, the second of two meetings between the Sabres and Oilers this season. The Sabres defeated Edmonton in Buffalo back on November 24th. Sabres today announced they've recalled defenseman Matt Tennyson from the Rochester Americans, played in 14 games with Buffalo at the beginning of this season. And the UB Bulls men's basketball go for their 8th straight win tonight. They're home against Eastern Michigan. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio, and joined on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline by our regular Tuesday guest getting set for his trip to the Super Bowl. Happy to have Trey Wingo on the line, the host of ESPN's NFL Live and co-host of Golic and Wingo, 6 a.m., 10 a.m. on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Trey, John Murphy and Donald here. Thanks for joining us today. How are you today?
I'm good, guys. How are you? How's the weather in Western Buffalo? Because it is dreary here today.
Yeah, dreary, I think, adequately describes it. But we got Donald Jones on the ski slopes for the first time the other day, so we're all pretty
good. Whoa, you guys buried the lead. What happened?
he was a little banged up, but I think he's okay.
I came back a little banged up. Trey, I fell, and I wasn't even coming down the slope. It was bad.
Okay, so that means you got off to a bad start.
Yeah,
he fell off a bar stool, I think, is what he's trying to say.
That happens to the best.
Yeah. Hey, Trey, we're kind of at the calm before the storm. I know you and you're taking your show with Golic and Wingo down to the Super Bowl next week. We're all kind of recovering from championship week. What did you think of those two games? What was your biggest takeaway from the AFC and NFC championship games this past Sunday?
Well, you know, they were two completely different games, that's for sure. One was an absolute nail-biter. And the other one was a blowout from the beginning. I thought it was really a perfect strategy by Philadelphia to lull Minnesota into a sense of overconfidence by allowing that first touchdown drive and then unleash 38 unanswered points on them. Their strategy worked perfectly. But they were two completely different games from start to finish. I mean, everything was completely one-sided outside of the first drive for Philadelphia, and then the Jaguars-Patriots game was an absolute classic.
Hey, Trey, I mean, we're going to hear so much about the Patriots over the next 2 weeks that I really don't want to talk about them, but I know we're going to do it today. But I'm going to go with the other game first, and the one that you were talking about as the blowout. Was there anything in your mind leading up to that game that would lead you to believe that the Vikings would get blown out like that?
Nope. Zero, zip, nada, done. I really thought that would be I thought if there was one game that was going to be that had the potential to be a blowout, just because of the pedigree of the two teams, I would have leaned towards the Patriots and Jaguars and thought that the Vikings-Eagles game would be really close. And boy, could I not have been more wrong!
How did that happen? What do you think went down there? Were the Vikings still jacked up about their improbable win the week before, or how did they come out and play so poorly?
Well, we talked about that a little bit last week, and you know the tank might have been a little bit on empty, but I mean they cruised. They were going right down the field, and they did whatever they want against that Philadelphia Eagles defense on that first drive, and then the Eagles scored. And as usually the case, guys, turnovers dictated this game. You know, the pick six gave them the lead for good. There was another interception or a fumble recovery by Chris Long right before the half, and it looked like the Vikings were in a chance to score points. And, you know, I was screaming at my TV when they were down 31-7 and had a fourth and goal inside the 10-yard line. Kick the dadgum field goal because you're down 24, which means you need three touchdowns and a field goal to somehow tie this game. Take the points. Instead, they went for it on fourth and goal. Adam Thielen bobbled it in the air, and then it looked like he caught it, and then it dropped off the ground. That one drove me crazy because all you had to do is go back to Super Bowl 51. The Patriots are down 28-3. They kicked a field goal. They were down 28-6. They kicked a field goal. They were down 28-9. They kicked a field goal. And those field goals kept them in the game, which allowed them to have the opportunity to have two touchdowns and two-point conversions. So, to me, from start to bottom, everything didn't work for Minnesota, including game management. But it's, you know, it's one of those things where every once in a while you'll be in a game and nothing is working and you don't know how to fix it. I mean, this was Nick Foles against the number one defense in the NFL, and it was a 7-on-7 drill.
Yeah.
He was 26-33 for 352 yards and three touchdowns, no picks. He and Joe Montana, let me repeat that sentence again, Nick Foles and Joe Montana are the only two players in NFL history that have back-to-back postseason games where they complete 75% of their throws.
Maybe we've all underestimated Nick Foles. That's what our guest yesterday, Ruben Frank from Philadelphia, said. Maybe he's much better than any of us thought. What do you think, Trey?
Well, look, he did go 27-2 in 2013 in terms of touchdowns to interceptions. So, yeah, is that in him? Sure. Was it likely to manifest itself against the number one defense in football? Absolutely not. I mean, look at the game beforehand. You know, there were overthrows, there were miscommunications. We talked about it last week. Turnovers. They were -2 in the turnover differential, and they won. And with the win on Sunday being -3 in the turnover differential, teams in the playoffs are 16-145 going back to 1990 if you're -2 or worse in the playoff differential. So is he capable of these kind of games? Yes. Was there anything to suggest that this type of game was coming from him in the 2016-17 regular and postseason? None whatsoever.
Now, what happened with Nick Foles when he left Philadelphia and went out to the Rams? What happened out there? I don't even remember what happened when he went out there and how he ended up back with the Eagles.
Well, you know, Case Keenum was there too. The only common denominator, guys, is Jeff Fisher. since they both left Jeff Fisher, they've had wonderful success. So, there's no explaining it. There isn't. I mean, Nick was very honest and said, maybe I'm going to quit. Maybe I just I'm good at this anymore, and I don't want to do it anymore. And lo and behold, it certainly turned out to go the other way for him now.
I think Nick Foles' story, I think the way they've survived injuries, the way they've been counted out for more than a month or so now, I think that makes them. I think that makes the Eagles a very likable team, Trey. In fact, I'm trying to convince Donald and our producers to adopt the Eagles as our Super Bowl team, but there's just a lot to like about that group, isn't there?
Well, they certainly embrace the city. I mean, Philadelphia is a city that always feels like it doesn't get the respect it deserves. I mean, it's where the Constitution was signed. It's where the initial U.S. Capitol was, and they said, screw it, we're leaving and going to D.C. You know what I mean? So it sort of sums up everything with that city. And this team is about those fans. I mean, you saw those dog masks out there at the game. You saw them after the game running around. I mean, this city always feels like no one gives them the respect they deserve. And this team has been an underdog in two straight games as a number one seed in the postseason for obvious reasons, but it has certainly fueled their fire. And look, they're underdogs, the biggest underdogs, I believe, in about 9 years in the Super Bowl right now. And they are happy to take that role and run with it.
With Trey Wingo, he is a host of ESPN NFL Live and, of course, Golic and Wingo on the radio in the mornings. The other game, Trey, we had a lot of discussion here on our show yesterday from people who have, you know, a predisposition against Doug Marrone. A lot of people claim that Marrone mismanaged that game on Sunday, and that's why the Patriots came back. Did you see evidence of that?
Well, there's a lot of things that you can get into with that game, including kneeling with 55 seconds left and a 14-10 lead and two timeouts in the first half. That one I don't have a huge issue with because you were getting the ball back to start the second half. Let's go in with the lead. Let's not do anything stupid here. But on the same token, Nick Foles right before the half, 29 seconds against the number one defense, they let him loose and they got points before the end of the half.
Right.
But there was a difference in the play calling in the second half of the Jags as opposed to the first half. I mean, you know, they threw on first down a lot in the first half against the Patriots. And in the second half, in the seven drives that they had, I think they slammed Leonard Fournette on first down into a wall of meat, basically, a nine-man box, I think four or five times, and put them behind the chains right away. But to me, there really are two sequences that changed that game for the Jaguars. And forget their last kneel-down series. The last time they had the ball before that, they faced a 3rd-and-7 on the Patriots' side of the field. There was a timeout called. Coming out of that, on the ensuing 3rd-and-7, they completed a 12-yard pass play for a first down that would have put them up in New England 32 with time about 2:40 left on the clock, or just over 2 minutes left on the clock, and instead that play was whistled dead because of a delay of game. How you get a delay of game coming out of a timeout is ridiculous. So that negated a chance to either go up 17-3 or 21-3. And then in the second half, and the PI call on A.J. Bouye at the end of the first half was garbage. It was not pass interference. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. However, all of that being said, they still were up 20-10 in the fourth quarter with 9 minutes to play. Right. And their defense sacks Brady, and they're facing a 3rd-and-18. I'm sorry. If you are the best defense in the league and you want to win that game and you have a 10-point lead, don't let them convert a 3rd-and-18. And you look at the defense they played, Donald, as a DB, that would drive you crazy. Yeah. They didn't defend the sticks. Right. They let them get to the 18-yard line. And of course Brady's going to make that throw, and of course Amendola's going to make that catch. They gave up a play they simply could not get up. And Brady admitted it in his radio interview on Monday. That play changed the game for us. So as much as the play calling and the stuff at the end of the half was brutal, to me the dagger was giving up a 3rd-and-18.
Trey, that was a dagger. But when you talk about the play calling, how much do you feel like, because for me, Blake Bortles was having a good game, a very good game. So I didn't understand why they were so afraid to make certain calls with him actually having a good game. I could see if he actually threw an interception early in that game or something like that, then they're like, oh, we got to be a little more conservative. But he was having a good game, so the fact that you decided to kneel on it when you could at least get a field goal or something like that, and the fact that they come out in the second half and call the game totally different, that was really mind-boggling to me.
It is, and it tells me, and it should tell anybody, what they feel about Blake. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't trust what they were seeing. They didn't trust that he could continue to do this. And I know his team had his back all year, as they should, and he played through some tough times and did some great things. But at the end of the day, to me, the way they called that game is an indication that Blake Bortles, despite the fact that they picked up his fifth-year option, is not going to be on that roster in 2018 when the regular season begins. They have an out before the league year starts on March 14th, I think it is, to get out of that deal. And, look, all indications are from the way they called that game that they are going to do that because of the way they tried to manage him in the second half of that game.
When are we going to learn here, Trey, in Buffalo and throughout the NFL, that reports of Tom Brady's demise are greatly exaggerated? I mean, the reporting about his thumb last week, and it didn't really amount to much once they kicked off. It was an interesting pregame topic, but there was very little evidence that it had anything to do with his performance in that game on Sunday.
Well, a couple of things there. I mean, Brady also said Monday after the game that he was terrified on Wednesday and Thursday because they didn't know what was going to happen. The bleeding was, I mean, as you guys know, a bleeding means it's a surface wound. That's just a cut. The bigger issue was that thumb bent backwards, and he was afraid there might have been structural damage. Now, it got better on Thursday, and by Friday he was ripping it, and he just didn't want anybody to see it. So it was an issue. The question was, thankfully for the Patriots, it wasn't the injury that Tom Brady feared it was going to be. As for the other thing, look, you're right. The numbers are staggering. That was his 11th fourth quarter overtime comeback in the playoffs. I don't think anybody else has more than six. That was the fourth time in the postseason where Brady has led a comeback in the fourth quarter down by double digits. No other quarterback has done it more than once. And that 3rd-and-18 play, guys, that we talked about, check this out. In the 34 playoff games that Brady and Belichick have played together, prior to that play, they were 0-for-25 on third down and 15 conversions or more. So what they did on that 3rd-and-18 play, they had never done before. Yet we keep finding new ways to talk about how the Patriots do things that have never been done before. It's absolutely staggering.
Trey, did you just say 34 playoff games
34 playoff games together.
The Bills have been in one in the last 17 years. They've been in 34 together.
The Bills have been in one since Tom Brady came into the league. And here's the crazy thing, guys. We were talking about Mike Vrabel being the head coach of the Tennessee Titans today, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the Super Bowl is a rematch of Super Bowl 39. In that game, Mike Vrabel caught a touchdown pass from Tom Brady. Vrabel has the greatest stat line in the history of the NFL, as far as I'm concerned. As a linebacker, he has 12 catches for 12 touchdowns and 2 in Super Bowls.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the greatest thing forever and ever and ever. But Vrabel played in that game. Vrabel is now the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, and Tom Brady is still slinging it like he was in 2005 when he won his third Super Bowl.
Hey, Trey, I just want to get through some of these coaching moves, and let's start with Vrabel in Tennessee. Is that a major upgrade, you think, for the Titans to go from Mike Mularkey, an experienced head coach, to Mike Vrabel, who's never done this before?
Well, we'll find out. Now, I personally believe that Vrabel is going to be a very good coach. I've followed his career, after he retired, after a few years in Kansas City, and went on to be an assistant under Urban Meyer at Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
and he's done a really nice job for the Texans. He was their defensive coordinator this past year. I think they were right in the middle of the pack defensively, but obviously they lost J.J. Watt and Whitney Merciless. They had a lot of issues. I think Vrabel has the potential to be very good, but it really depends on one thing. Will the quarterback develop, Marcus Mariota? And I think he's going to surround himself with the right staff for that to be a part of it, because obviously as good as he is as a wide receiver, Mike Vrabel's really a defensive guy.
Right.
So I think that will depend on whether or not Marcus Mariota can make a step forward as opposed to making a slight step back, which he did this year.
And Pat Shurmur goes to the Giants. He's got a quarterback question to answer too, but I don't know where he comes out on Eli, but I guess we'll find out pretty quickly, huh?
Well, I think that Eli will play and start this year, but remember, the Giants have the second overall pick, and that to me sounds like they are absolutely taking a quarterback. And as Adam Schefter reported, It's agreed that they've got a five-year deal. Well, why is that significant? Well, if you're a first-round pick, you can keep him for 5 years, sign a four-year contract, and get the fifth-year option. So that certainly sounds to me like there's a guy that the Giants and or Shurmur really like in this draft at number two. They're going to target him, and they're going to have Shurmur and that quarterback going forward for 5 years. And keep in mind, the last time that the Giants had the second overall pick in the draft, they picked some guy named Lawrence Taylor. So the bar has been set pretty high for the Giants with this high of a draft pick.
Trey, what about Josh McDaniels and Matt Patricia both leaving New England? It sounds like they're going to leave New England after the Super Bowl.
It is, and it looks like Matt Patricia is going to Detroit, and Josh is looking like he's headed towards Indianapolis. A couple of things there. Obviously, there's familiarity with Matt Patricia and the general manager in Detroit, Bob Quinn, who came from the Patriots to take over that job. And, you know, I don't think Jim Caldwell deserved to be fired. I think he did a really nice job with that. But as is always the case, if a GM gets a job and he inherits a coach, I think that coach is always going to be in trouble because a GM wants his guy. You know, this is a relational business. And I think Quinn wants somebody that he knows and is familiar with. I think that that's one of the reasons why Patricia and Quinn got along, and they have their quarterback there. And obviously Josh has his quarterback and Andrew Luck should he go to the Colts. The only job that really has an open question to quarterback is the Arizona Cardinals. And they don't have that high of a draft pick where we think they might be able to get one without trading up in the 2018 draft. So remember, there's two ways to get quarterbacks this offseason. There's going to be the draft, and we could have a plethora, including a guy like Tyrod, that might be available in the free agency market when the league year begins on March 14th.
And Arizona has found their head coach, and the only things I can tell you about Steve Wilks is that he was Sean McDermott's successor at Carolina, and he held the Bills to 3 points back in September. What else is there to know about him, and what do you think the forecast is for him?
Yeah, look, Steve has been there 6 years, but in the 6 years that he was on the defensive staff for Carolina, they were sixth in the league with 96 interceptions. He's going to the team that was number one in that category over that time frame, which would be the Arizona Cardinals. They were seventh, I think, total defense this year in Carolina. He's built himself a really nice reputation, and I think he has a chance to do well there. But again, they've got to find a quarterback. They don't have one on their roster right now. They do not have a quarterback signed to their roster. Which,
oh boy,
call me crazy. That's not like the best way to go.
You're right.
Hey Trey, I mean, I feel like everybody's leaving Carolina. what do you think about that? I mean, the GMs have left there. You look at Coach McDermott here. Steve Wilks now gone. I mean, I feel like everybody's leaving that city.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot. They just signed Ron Rivera, though, to a long-term to an extension. But again, as we said, when they get a new GM in there, we'll find out. I mean, I think Ron's done a really good job there and has done the most. They've got Norv Turner there. They want to try and work with Cam. But there are some definite things that need to be upgraded on that Carolina offense specifically, and a lot of that's going to be on how the quarterback plays. Norv has come out there and said, hey, we think Cam can do anything. And the one thing Cam's got to get better at, you know, he does all these wonderful things. He's got to be better on third down. Over the last 3 years, the more qualified quarterbacks, he's one of the worst, actually, on third down. And that even includes going back to his MVP year 2015. You can't win consistently with your quarterback hovering at about 50% complete on third down. So that's something that's going to have to change.
Does the ownership upheaval in Carolina play into that at all, do you think, Trey?
It might, you know. I mean, things are going to change,
and
owner might want to come in and put his stamp on it. Look, there are two kinds of owners, as you guys well know. There are the Robert Krafts and the Maras and the Rooneys that sort of stay out of everything and just don't get involved. And there are others like Jerry Jones in Dallas and, you know, Dan Snyder in Washington that want to have their hands in the finger of everything that goes on.
Yeah.
So it depends on who comes in there and how proactive or passive they want to be in owning that team.
Hey, Trey, we're going to let this Super Bowl matchup simmer for a week or so before you ask you. We're going to have our crew led by the great Steve Tasker down at the Super Bowl in Minneapolis next week. He'll track you down, and maybe we can do a segment with you, and things will sort of – we'll have a clearer picture anyway of what the Super Bowl looks like. So hope we get a chance to touch base with you next week.
That is certainly my plan. I will be delighted to always talk to Steve, who should be the first guy in ever if they vote in guys based on special teams. He should be the first guy in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Make sure you tell him that.
Yeah, Steve will tell you no.
Yeah, Steve will disagree, and he'll blush a little bit, and he'll look at his feet and say, oh, shucks.
Hashtag humble brag.
Exactly. Exactly. Trey, thanks for this. We'll talk to you.
You, You got it, guys. See you next week.
Trey Wingo, host of ESPN's NFL Live and co-host of Golic and Wingo, 6 a.m., 10 a.m. on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and the ESPN app. Happy to have Trey with us. He joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. How many people do you think, when Steve shows up next week at the Super Bowl, every other person will say, oh, you should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And right? He's all day, he's going to be like,
no, not me.
I played with a bunch of Hall of Famers. I was just another guy on the team.
You had me confused with somebody else. You know, we've seen it all. We're going to break. We're going to come back. More Senior Bowl talk when we return, and we will re-engage on our topic of the day. Just how far away are these Buffalo Bills from actual legitimate Super Bowl contention? Now that you've seen us in the Super Bowl, now that you can digest a couple of weeks removed from the Bills' season, getting into the playoffs, how far away are they from Super Bowl contention? We got phone lines open to discuss that with you. Number to call, 803-0550. If you're calling from outside Buffalo, it's a toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. Back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio here at One Bills Drive. Seems like all the action is going on outside of One Bills Drive this week, Donald, doesn't it? I feel like left out. I really do.
I do, too. I mean, you got the Pro Bowl this week. Then you have the Senior Bowl. Why do we get left out?
We're trying to keep up. We've got crews headed to the Pro Bowl in Orlando and a couple of Bills there, Richie Incognito and LeSean McCoy. Did you see that Yannick Ngakoue has been named as a Pro Bowl replacement
from
the Jaguars?
That. No.
And Richie is there? I mean, I'm just saying, if there's an opportunity
same
for
team?
I'm not sure about the apology.
Can they go back to AFC, NFC?
No, I'm not sure they are. Are they?
I thought they went back to AFC, NFC format.
Did.
Yeah.
But
they're going to be in the same team.
They're
going to
be in the same place.
Day. Yeah, they'd be going up against each other in the same hotel. Hey, Richie, you want to talk?
They should talk. They should settle that up. I think it's quieted down now that, you know, Ngakoue's played another couple of games since then. They should talk and get that settled.
Now, you said Micah Hyde pulled out?
Yeah, Micah with a concussion. And
That's tough. Your first ever appearance to the Pro Bowl and you can't play in the game. The one thing you want to do is you want to get invited to the game but then be playing in the Super Bowl so you can't play in the game.
That's the way to do it.
You don't want to get invited and can't play because of injuries or
right.
something like that. But
right.
I wonder if when those guys pull out, do they still go?
No, I don't think so. Do they?
I don't know. I mean, I never made it to the Pro Bowl, Mer. Let's ask Steve that. I mean, it might be a little different now, but.
Steve Tasker coming up at 2 o'clock today. There's a Pro Bowl in Orlando. We've got a crew headed there, and there's the Senior Bowl, the Reese's Senior Bowl, and our man Chris Brown is there, and that's going on in Mobile, Alabama. Today, the first day for access to players and the first practice session coming up in just about an hour or so. It's coming up. We'll have Chris Brown's report all week long on the Senior Bowl. Head coach Sean McDermott's going to meet with the media today. We'll have that information, what he said today, up on our website. And on our social media platforms, Mason Rudolph spoke with the media today, the Oklahoma State quarterback who is injured and will not practice or participate in the workouts at the Senior Bowl this week. And Chris Brown was there when Mason Rudolph talked about how he's feeling this week.
Yeah, so mid-foot sprain in the ball game, fourth quarter. I talked to the foot specialist, Dr. Anderson. He's in Green Bay and splits time in Charlotte. And he recommended I put me in a boot for 3 weeks, so I'll be in the boot the rest of this week. And then, obviously recommend that I not play in the game, which obviously bummed. Just, wanted to come down here and start this thing off right and really kill it. Had a couple of receivers here I was going to, my team would throw the ball to a lot. So, it's not the end of the world. And, I'm sure I'll be, he told me I should be fine for the combine and plan on throwing and doing everything there I can.
And meanwhile, you're getting a chance to meet with teams. I assume,
yes, sir.
Yeah, what do you take?
Yeah, that's why I'm here. Yeah, that's why I'm here. And I wanted to come down and. Get a fresh start on the interview process and meet some of the best players in the country and hang out a couple of my teammates and had to weigh in this morning, those type of things. So just kind of start the process right on the right foot.
Might the most frustrating thing be, you know, the questions that are out there about you are, hey, can the guy operate, call plays in a huddle, those kinds of things. This was the opportunity to do that,
yeah.
And that's kind of gone out the window. I got to imagine that's frustrating.
A little bit, but, you know, I'm very, very confident in my ability to pick up a new offense, a new system, and you know, command the huddle. I've done it in high school. I've done it in college. A few times we have huddled, whether it's, you know, score zone, red zone, you know, coming out of our own end zone, you know, obviously peeing 10 like everyone else in the universe, but you're asking me, my teammates, my coaches, they'll tell you I command it. You know, I command the huddle, and I you know, I'm able to, you know, pick up on a lot very quickly.
Play retention, that kind of stuff. You know, I think they, a lot of pro teams worry about college quarterbacks that are looking to the sideline for calls, yeah, as opposed to calling them in the huddle. What do you think you can get across in those chalkboard sessions to convince coaches, teams, hey, you know, I'm quick on the uptake and I got this?
Well, I mean, you've seen plenty of, you know, spread, quote-unquote, quarterbacks come out in the last few years. They've all, you know, looked at the sideline for most of their stuff. Yeah. And I've still got a lot of ability in my offense to get in and out of plays, check protections, you know, adjust routes, side adjustments, that type of thing. We got a lot of, you know, experienced receivers. So, you know, I think I've done a great job thus far in the interview process and showing those guys what I know. And I've gotten some good feedback.
What is that like, Mason? If you could walk us through the interview process where you're demonstrating that aptitude.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously, first it'll be a lot of background info. You know, have you ever been arrested type deal? And I have not, thankfully. But other than that, you know, start to get stuff. You know, they'll say, hey, what's your favorite play? And so I'll draw my favorite play up, you know, describe the way the signal comes in, the formation, the pass concept, the protection. I tell the center which way we set the protection, the back. So just kind of walk them through what we do, because they don't expect you to know their system yet. So just be able to explain, you know, clearly and articulate your system and get through that. And then, you know, keep answering the next questions they have. Last night I got taught three protections, and after that I had to spit them right back out to the coach, and I nailed it. So it's been fun to kind of see what everyone's throwing at you.
What about your teammates here, James and Marcel? I mean, what can you say about those guys, who are two very different body type receivers here?
Yeah, you know, a big target on the left side for us, and then James is the speed run by you, you know, great route, explosive playmaker. And not that Marcel's not, but he comes across as the jump ball guy, possession receiver. He's a guy you're going to go to on fourth and eight, you know, for the game. Big body receiver, big target. Both kind of have, you know, different skill sets, but both very effective. And I think they're going to both have a, you know, a great week here. They've already started it out, you know, well in their interviews and in the meetings with the Texan staff, and then you know, just kind of having a, you know, putting their best foot forward and, you know, continuing their, you know, the next step of their career.
Are you sitting in any of the meetings with the coaches, yeah, and the quarterbacks room?
Yes, sir. I told, you know, Coach Sean Ryan, you know, the quarterbacks coach, mm-hmm, for the Texans, that I'd like to, you know, I still like to, you know, participate in everything that I can until I leave tomorrow morning. So I've been in there and, you know, trying to soak up everything I can from him and Coach O'Brien, and just learn the system. And you know, in a couple of days is as crammed as it is, yeah, but it's been fun and I learned a lot.
Quarterback Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State injured his foot in workouts getting ready for the Senior Bowl and will not participate in Senior Bowl workouts. You heard him say he's going to stick around until, what'd he say, tomorrow, but in there for interviews and talking with teams and chalkboard work, which is a pretty important part, right, of Combine and even this week at the Senior Bowl time.
Yeah, he, first of all, it's tough for a guy like Mason Rudolph because, to be honest, he might find himself sitting there on the board when the Bills are picking back at 2021. So that might be a guy that all Bills fans should pay attention to. I've received a lot of tweets on Mason Rudolph, and I have to dive more into him. I know he's like 6'5", 230, so he has the size, mm-hmm, and he has the arm strength. Now you got to figure out how smart he is. And so that's why he was talking about there, sitting down with the teams, doing chalk talk and all of that stuff. I remember I didn't do chalk talk at the Senior Bowl. I did a lot of chalk talk at the Combine. But if he's talked about in the first round, these teams are going to sit down with him, do chalk talk with him here at the Senior Bowl. And I remember sitting with the Bills, and they actually they called me into the room, and it's like Chan Gailey, the receivers coach, was there, a bunch of different scouts all in the room, and we're talking about different things, and they're like, all right, let's get up on the board. So we get up on the board, and they're like, what's your favorite play? And I could not remember any plays from college.
Oh, not good.
I couldn't remember any plays, so I just made something up. I was like, all right, I'm going to just make something up real fast. And it didn't make any sense. And they're like, so wait, this is the way y'all ran that play in college? And I'm like, yeah, we did things a little bit different. But I made it sound believable, though. So they believed me, and I ended up here in Buffalo.
How do you think they bought it, really? Or?
I don't know.
Did anybody else ask you to do that, go to the board?
No, probably. I mean, the Bills were the only team I actually did a formal interview when you go into the hotel room with them, with everybody. Everybody else, I was just doing interviews around the table, so you didn't have the chalk talk. But the Bills, I come in, and they're like, let's get you on the board. What's your favorite play? Oh, I can't remember anything. I couldn't make any faces like I didn't remember. I just had to make something up quick.
Wow. Hey, our man Chris Brown is there. Bills insider Chris Brown is going to be there. We're going to hear from him at 2:15 this afternoon, live from Ladd Peebles Stadium in Mobile, Alabama. It is Senior Bowl week. They're just getting started. But Chris's reports will be on the air with us the next couple of days, today, tomorrow, and on Thursday. And, of course, you can catch Chris's coverage from the Senior Bowl at BuffaloBills.com. Tune in all week long. Chris Brown live coverage from the Senior Bowl. You just heard him with Oklahoma State quarterback Mason Rudolph. Our Twitter poll today. You've seen this year's Super Bowl matchup. You've seen the playoffs so far. Of course, you followed the Buffalo Bills season. How far away are the Bills from legitimate Super Bowl contention? What do you think? That's our Twitter poll. Been up for about an hour and a half now. After seeing this year's matchup, how far away are the Bills from Super Bowl contention? Almost two-thirds of you, 63%, say Bills need several pieces. 34%, about a third of you, say they're just a quarterback away from Super Bowl contention. 3% of you believe the Bills are contenders now. Almost 2,000 votes in our Twitter poll. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Michael in Cheektowaga has some thoughts on this. Michael, go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, first of all, I want to say how great your program is. Mr. Murphy, you've been a part of Buffalo sports for many, many years, and I'm glad to see Mr. Brown Jones now, who is a part of this program.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
We need consistency. We don't have the consistency, and I think before we could answer that question, we have to see what our management and administration do as far as the draft before we can really intelligently answer this question. I know we need several pieces, but somehow we got there. I'm a senior. I've been around a long time. I saw Buffalo at its best in many sports. But now I want my grandchildren to see it. And until, again, I'd just like to get your thoughts on what I'm saying. And I think until we find out about the draft, and until we find out about what decisions are going to be made by the front office, we really can't answer this question.
No, Michael, I see it the other way around. I think you make an assessment, an honest assessment of where you are, what you need, and then you go out and do the free agency and do the draft. And I think that's kind of where we're getting with today's Twitter poll. I mean, who are the Bills? Are they a quarterback away from Super Bowl contention? Are they several players away from Super Bowl contention? Are they close? Are they not close? So I think you do that first, and then you get to thinking about who we draft and who we sign in a free agency, who we keep in of our own free agents. I think you got to do a little self-evaluation first, self-scouting.
You have to do self-scouting because you got to figure out – you have a lot of free agents on this team, so you got to figure out what you want, where you want to go with those guys first, because free agency does come before the draft. So, I mean, you got to be realistic, and you got to do self-scouting. Let's figure out where we have holes, where we need to fill these holes. Do we want to fill this hole in free agency? Do we want to fill this hole in the draft? So, really, the pro scouts are just as important as the college scouts. And all we're talking about right now is the Senior Bowl and the draft and all of that stuff. But at the same time, the pro scouts are out there looking at who's going to be on the free agent market, because that's going to come up before the draft comes around. So you need to figure out, okay, we have this much money allotted for this position, this much money for this position. This guy might be a cap casualty, so we might be able to have a little bit more money. Do we want to trade this guy away? Instead of cutting him, do we trade him away for another draft pick? So, you know, you got to do self-scouting first, worry about the free agency first, at the same time worry about this draft process.
I mean, the Bills are a little bit more than 2 weeks removed from the end of their season.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet one of the first things they did after returning home from Jacksonville, settling down, sleeping a little bit, I bet one of the first things they did was self-evaluation. We know they talked with the coaching staff and got, you know, reports on the players on the roster. But a lot of it has to be at the very top level, I would think. Brandon Bean, you know, Joe Shane, his assistant, and Sean McDermott, and his top assistants, his coordinator, sitting down saying, who are we? What do we have? What do we need? You know, kind of self-evaluation. That's kind of the heart of our question. How far away? The question might have come up. It might have been phrased that way in that room. How far away are we from legitimate championship contention here?
They might.
They should ask that question of themselves.
You should.
You know,
ask
before
yourself.
You make any decision about draft picks.
Hey guys, how good are we?
Yeah, we won nine games.
I want to know everybody's opinion in this room.
I would ask that question.
How good do you think we are?
How good are we? Yeah.
Where do you think we need holes?
Yeah, yeah.
And then let everybody weigh in, give their opinion. Coach McDermott seems like a guy who might do something like that just because he pays so much attention to the details, the little details. I want to know where everybody in this room feels like we need to improve.
It's like the first thing you would do before you make your steps forward, I think. Right. Marcus in Buffalo, how far away are the Bills from Super Bowl contention? What do you think, Marcus? Hello, Marcus.
I think the Bills are like 3 to 4 years away. Definitely need some picks. I think in this upcoming free agency, like I would like to see Alex Smith on our team. But if that's not possible, then definitely through the draft, I think we need to definitely get some pieces. Quarterback, backup running back for sure, because Sadie's out there injured. He can't do it by himself all the time. And Tolbert is they don't even trust Tolbert on the goal line. Like, first and goal on the one, they don't even trust Tolbert to get it in. So, definitely think we need a couple pieces. But hopefully by then, 3 or 4 years, maybe Brady will be retired. So, it gives the Bills a better chance of actually making the playoffs. I mean, making the Super Bowl. So, I definitely hope so.
Okay. Thanks, Marcus. We're going to take a break. We're coming back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Got Steve Tasker coming up on the show in a couple of minutes. Hope you stick around for that. We got Chris Brown checking in live from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, coming up at the 2 o'clock hour. You already heard from Chris in his interview with Mason Rudolph. It's all happening. You see it, Donald? It's all falling in place. Tomorrow we'll have hopefully some Pro Bowl stuff from Richie and LeSean McCoy. It's all coming together this week.
That's what it does.
That's what I'm telling myself anyway.
That's what you're telling yourself? That's how you get through the offseason.
Yes.
It's piece all
by piece,
together.
Day by day. A couple of calls here. We're talking about how far away are the Bills from legitimate playoff contention. What do you think? David in Niagara Falls has some thoughts on that. David, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, John. Hey, Don. Just wanted to do a quick shout-out to Don. Your era of the Bills, you, Stevie, Freddie, it was just a real fun time. You know, it really got me hooked on the Bills. I'm a younger Bills fan. I just wanted to throw that out there to Don.
Yeah, we call it the you. Donald Jones era, I think, most
the
Bills
Donald
fans.
Jones era. Yeah. We had fun, too. We just didn't win enough.
Well,
yeah, I wish we would have done a little bit more of that. But
trust me, I do, too.
I think we're a few years away simply because we have some aging people. You look at the defensive linemen. We need to replace Kyle Williams. We need that penetrator. We also need a good, solid pass rusher. I think Shaq Lawson, I'm not saying he's a bust, but he's been injured the past two seasons. You know, give him some time, but give him someone else on the edge. Jerry Hughes, you know, he's not up there in age. He's probably hitting his prime, but we need a young, hungry, like, I would even maybe a first-round pick in there. And then as far as the quarterback goes, I think we need to go young. I think we need to draft one. And I think it really depends on if Dable, the new coordinator, if he can cultivate that quarterback in the next couple years. And, you know, kind of like how, you know, you got Carson Wentz and Frank Reich. In a couple years, he's an MVP candidate.
Right.
You know, so I think 2 to 3 years, replay some of the old players, and just revamp the roster a bit. But the key, I think, is the offensive coordinator. And I just want to hear what you guys think about that. Thanks.
I mean, the key, the offensive coordinator. I think the entire offensive staff, especially if you're going to be drafting a quarterback, you need for everybody to be on the same page because ultimately the team goes as the quarterback goes. So the offensive coordinator, the quarterback's coach, wide receivers coach, offensive line coach, running backs coach, we all need to be on the same page to help to develop your positions, but also when you help your positions, it helps develop this quarterback. And so, yeah, I think the offensive coordinator is huge, and everybody thinks about just play calling and time management and all of that stuff, but it's about developing the entire offense and having a system in place that hopefully is in place for a long time. so that everybody can develop within this system.
You know, he mentioned Jerry Hughes, who I'm beginning to think about a lot, is, you know, did not have his best year this past year. He'll be 30 when next season begins. I do think, and this is me talking, this is not inside intel, I do think there's a role for Jerry Hughes to play on a better Buffalo defense next year. He's got to play better, but he can be used better too. He can. They certainly would benefit if they get better people around him up front in the front seven. But I would not be real quick to throw out Jerry Hughes as a, you know, a high salary guy who we got to move on from. What do you think?
See, I kind of think different, and not from that I want to move on, but I think Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean look at this thing. We all know they look at everybody on the team, but I wouldn't be shocked if they decided to move on from Jerry, being 30 years old, coming off of a season that wasn't his best season, knowing all of the things that he has done in terms of character on the field, penalties and things like that. Jerry, for the most part, keeps his cool, and he fits into that locker room, but he does have some times where he might break down and do something and get you a 15-yard penalty or something like that. So knowing that he's 30, but he still has some juice left in the tank, I wouldn't be shocked if they went ahead and traded him away to try to get some more draft picks or something like that.
Did you ask me that question earlier today?
Yeah, out there.
That was you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that
you got me.
Me
thinking about it. I listened to you, Donald, and I was thinking about it. And I thought, no, I kind of want Jerry Hughes around. You feel I could see it going the other way, but
defensive end position is something. When we talk about interior defensive linemen, but defensive ends as well, you need guys that can get to the quarterback on an every down basis. And this year you didn't really have that. You didn't really start to get pressure again until you brought Lorenzo up, and he was putting a little bit of pressure on the quarterbacks. So I think you need to figure out what you want to do there. As we know, Coach McDermott wants to be able to get pressure with his front four, especially with the guys on the outside, the defensive ends. You need to be able to get to the quarterback. They weren't able to do that this year.
Interesting question. We'll have to talk more about that. We're going to talk more about our question of the day. How far away are the Buffalo Bills from legitimate, true Super Bowl contention? Give us a call in the next hour and let us know what you think. 803-0550 and outside Buffalo, it's a toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. Steve Tasker joins us next hour also to continue on this discussion. And Chris Brown will check in live from the Senior Bowl in Mobile. All of that coming up in hour number three, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive, where it's quiet here. The NFL action is focused on a couple of locations this week, including the Pro Bowl in Orlando, Florida. Bills safety Micah Hyde has withdrawn from playing in the game. The first time he was selected to play in the Pro Bowl, Micah Hyde, of course, suffered that game-ending concussion in the playoff game at Jacksonville, so he is ineligible to play. His replacement will be safety Kevin Byard of the Tennessee Titans. First practice day on the field coming up today at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. More than 100 prospects on the field. They'll be on the field at Ladd Peebles Stadium in Mobile in about a half hour. The Bills Brain Trust is there. Head coach Sean McDermott, he'll talk to the media after this afternoon's first practice, and we've got coverage of that at BuffaloBills.com and on our social media platforms. GM Brandon Bean and new offense coordinator Brian Daboll also in Mobile. They'll meet the media there later today. Bills insider Chris Brown joins us live here on the show in about 15 minutes from the Senior Bowl. Complete coverage from Mobile. Josh Allen, the Wyoming quarterback, says he knows Senior Bowl week is big for him as he tries to demonstrate that he belongs among the elite quarterbacks in this year's draft. Only a 56% completion percentage at Wyoming during his college career, and the competition is going to be questioned, but some analysts, including Mel Kiper, rank Josh Allen as the number one prospect in this year's NFL draft. Coaching news in the NFL, Steve Wilks hired late yesterday as the new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Wilks spent the last year as defensive coordinator in Carolina. The Giants hired Vikings offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur as their head coach yesterday. And the Browns have hired former Steelers offensive coordinator Todd Haley to be their new offensive coordinator. Sabres at Edmonton tonight. Back-to-back games for Buffalo after the 2-1 overtime win last night at Calgary. They play the Oilers tonight. 9 o'clock faceoff. Second of two meetings between the teams this year. Buffalo beat Edmonton back in November here in Buffalo by a score of 3-1. And college basketball, the UB Bulls go for their 8th straight win tonight. Home at 7 o'clock, Alumni Arena against Eastern Michigan. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Donald Jones, final hour of the show. Joined right now in studio by our good buddy. He is the former Bills special teams ace. He is on the Buffalo Bills Wall of Fame from the NFL on CBS and NFL coverage on Westwood One Radio. Steve Tasker in studio with us. Hi, Steve.
Guys, thanks for having me back.
Thanks for coming by here today.
Yeah. It's good to be in every week.
You came in the door with guns blazing. You have something to say about our question of the day. About, you did. You were giving me opinions. I was on my way to the men's room, and I couldn't get. But you do have some thoughts on this question of the day, our Twitter poll today, which deals with just how far away are the Buffalo Bills from true, legitimate playoff contention. On Twitter, most of our respondents say they've got some work to do. 63% on Twitter say the Bills are several pieces away from playoff contention. 34% say they're just a quarterback away. 3% say, hey, they're contenders now. What do you think? As you look at the Super Bowl matchup this year, Steve, and as you know what the Bills did this year, how far away are the Buffalo
Bills? Well, you got to acknowledge that they're an incomplete team. I mean, there are some things that even, you know, even the most, you know, staunch supporters of the team would acknowledge. But when you look at that, I'm kind of leaning towards the 3%. It's been proven by Blake Bortles and the Jaguars and by Case Keenum in the backup and Nick Foles, you know, these quarterbacks who were not household names with really good football teams around them that got to the championship level of the Super Bowl, of the conference championship in the NFL. You've proven, it's been proven by this team this year in One Bills Drive that you can win without a, you know, a quarterback that is a pure passer. In fact, and I'll take you step by step, go back to week 8 of the season. The Bills are sitting at 5-2, and they knew all they needed was a spark at quarterback. I mean, there was like 2 or 3 plays a game that were the difference makers, and they felt if they could get that from any quarterback, they were going to go, you know, they were going to be, they were looking at 10-3, you know, before the stretch was over.
Right.
They were, you know, that was the mentality, and we all saw it, and we were kind of all on that. People here in Buffalo kind of got the quarterback change when they went to Peterman. Because they think, man, we got all this stuff going for us. All we need is like 3 plays a game from the quarterback, and it's those players that we all see that are running free that Tyrod either can't throw it, doesn't have time to throw it, or won't pull the trigger, or pulls it down, whatever. If we get those 3 plays, nobody can beat us, right? So that was the mentality. So it's been proven that you can get really close and be really competitive without a great quarterback. So, you can say, you know, better quarterback play, yeah, that puts them over the top. But there's no question you can contend without one. This playoff run with this team and the teams around it have proven that. I mean, this is a team that far exceeded expectations by making the playoffs.
Could you say that this team, you could see this team in the playoffs every year with the talent. We know they got a bunch of free agents, but if you had all of those guys back, could you see that team in the playoffs every year, the style that they played?
With style, yeah. This team, I don't know, because early on they got off, and the thing that put them in was their early season run to 5-2 that we just mentioned where they got all those turnovers. And then teams started realizing that they couldn't really take advantage of, you know, as an opponent unless – we turned it over as their opponent. So when teams started playing it conservative and close to the vest and start saying, okay, it's going to be a close game because they're not going to risk the football. But if we don't give them any extra possessions, they're going to have a hard time beating us. And that kind of evened it out. But even then, you know, they're playing 500 football right then. And let's face it, 9-7 was good enough this year, although we all sweated it out at the end of it. But, yeah, I think this style of football has been proven that it's effective. But there's no question – and you can't deny it that this team has got a lot of work to do and can get better at a lot of areas, even while they're still playing that kind of football and being competitive, and also, even with a new quarterback or first year quarterback.
When the Bills brain trust, now they're in Mobile, but a week or two ago, a week and a half ago, season ended. How much consideration do you think they gave to where are we, how good are we, before they even set out for a plan for the draft, a plan for scouting for the draft, a free agency plan? Isn't that job one? Like, that, where are we?
Well, that's
who
job one every day.
Yeah.
That's job one every day. They know. And when they go out to practice, I mean, those guys, you talk to every coach on that staff who's a full assistant, certainly the coordinators, and obviously Sean McDermott, and I would say also Brandon Bean, although he gets a lot of his information from the coaching staff, like I just said. Every one of the coaches on this staff could give you a quick thumbnail of where we need help and where we don't. And I'll tell you what, they give you 99.9% of the same answer. They all know, top to bottom. Then even if they're a wide receivers coach, they'll tell you their D-line or if their linebackers coach will say, hey, our running back tight end combinations aren't working. You know, they'll give you an absolute thumbnail of where they need to go.
Right.
And that's the problem is, you know, this is a team that they refurbished the roster so much. They gave so many guys that 1-year deal as an enticement.
Right.
Say, okay, come prove it. A lot of them did. A lot of those guys did. Came in and played really well, did everything they asked. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's the big question, because we're going to see it again. There's going to be 35 new players on this team next year. Usually it's 10 or 12 across the league. Right. It's going to be 22 new players on this one. I mean, they don't have a choice. They're going to lose some of these guys.
It's almost like the new NFL. You know, you wait and you get the deals in June when the market settled down. You sign guys to one-year deals, maybe get lucky. It's like, I think the newer GMs, it's just a different way to build a team. But the Bills have shown that you can do that. Other teams have shown that, too. Just get a guy at your price, good value, sign him for a year, maybe two.
I think you end up drafting guys and you bring guys in through free agency. Then you find out, all right, these guys are not panning out. Or once you get into camp, you get some injuries and you have to sign other guys to one-year deals to come in and help out.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, because football is football and guys get injured, then you got a bunch of guys on these one-year contracts that play that end up playing well. Like this team had a bunch of guys come in after training camp started, during the season, everything that came in and played well that you're like, man, we could use him here next year.
Yeah.
But they're on one-year deals, and now they can go and get some money from somewhere
like
else.
Like a Deontay Thompson.
Right.
E.J. Gaines came earlier than that.
Yeah. Right. That philosophy is a good one, and there's no question. And I think the thing that adds on to it is the culture they have in that locker room where this is a we-love-each-other kind of locker room. And that you know, kind of gives you some help exponentially in what your whole team accomplishes. Mm-hmm. You know, you have great players individual on every team, but when you've got the lesser players, the guy, others like me, special teams guys, and, you know, got, who roll into that, and all of a sudden the others start supporting the stars, and the others start to shine because everybody's rolling together. So all of that stuff happens. And that kind of culture fed into what they did early in the season. They got all these guys, and they picked the right kind of guys. They picked their personality first and their position and their ability second. And that really steamrolled into the momentum, the positive momentum they had that, you know, carried them through the Oakland game, the Tampa Bay game, and all the Atlanta game early on. All that stuff got rolling. It was fun to see. And I think they're going to be asked to do it again in a lot of ways.
Were you listening to Trey Wingo? We had the interview with Trey Wingo.
No.
Why not? No, I'm just kidding.
I asked you that is because we, you know, Trey's going to be down at the Super Bowl.
Is he going to come in and talk to us?
And yes. You're going
to listen. You know how it is. I got to get everybody I can to get to come down and give us interviews.
Trey says
that
he'll
week.
Talk to you.
All right, yeah, talk to me.
He's going to talk to
Nobody
you.
Nobody else will talk to
he's
me.
He's probably going to say, "Man, you should be in the Hall of Fame." And you're going to say, "No,
I'm going to spend.
I was an other on the team, like you just said." And this is what we were talking about when we got off air. I said, "Murph, I bet you Steve was listening in the car on the way."
You know what Trey called it? Humble brag.
Yeah.
Humble brag.
Hashtag.
There you go.
Yeah,
humble
you're
brag.
You're pretty good at that.
I'll get good at that.
You're already good at that.
Steve Tasker's in studio with us. Call us up. Let us know how much he needs to be in the Hall of Fame if you'd like. We get that call every week. But also, maybe you can respond.
See, you're tired of it too, aren't you?
No,
yeah,
I'm not.
You are.
Yes, no,
you
I love it. I love your reaction to it.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think, though, about the Bills. How close are they
to
Super Bowl contention? Justin calling from Myrtle Beach. Hello, Myrtle Beach, or Justin in Myrtle Beach. How are you, Myrtle?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Thanks.
How's everybody doing today?
Doing good.
A little cold, but you're warm in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, I just wanted to say is I just want to thank the Bills for making the playoffs this year. My great grandma is 90 years old and she got to see it, so I'm pretty happy about that. I know I'm late to the party, but
nah,
that's okay.
Never too late for that.
That's right. I think we're close. I think we could go either way with a quarterback. You could say you need a quarterback, but look at the Eagles this year. They're running the ball. They're playing great defense. At the end of the day, most championship teams, except for the Patriots, are built on running the ball and playing great defense.
Yeah, you're right.
I'll be honest with you, too, Justin. This is what your comment, and these guys I want to read, that's what got me thinking about this is a topic today because – all right, put New England aside. They are a perennial championship contender. But the other three teams that played this past Sunday, you know, Minnesota, Jacksonville, Philadelphia, are they that much better than the current Buffalo Bills? I don't know that they are.
Now, they're not, I don't know if they're that much different, let alone
work.
Better.
Yeah, the Bills need work. They need players. But I don't know. I think we're reaching a point where you can almost project the Bills into that caliber of team.
I think
in the not-too-distant future.
I think as an overall look, like the Eagles, Bills, you know, Vikings, all they're built differently. Certainly the Philadelphia Eagles have a phenomenal front four pass rush. Well, the Bills have a great back end front four. You know, so it's different spots for greatness on the teams, and there are different strengths to each team. But the level of play for the wins loss, I think, is very close. Now, you can say Carson Wentz maybe tips the scale their way, and he's an MVP. And you don't get to be an MVP candidate unless you win a lot of games. And, you know, not every team has a guy who's an MVP candidate. So that may be, make the that may be the great equalizer for the Philly. But, you know, Philly doesn't have LeSean. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, LeSean could play for any team in the NFL. I mean, he would be a guy they plug right in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's, you know, so you have great players at different positions on both those teams. But I think the level of play throughout 16 weeks of a season is pretty close, except I think you got an MVP guy at quarterback, and that changes everything for every team.
Right.
Steve Tasker in studio with us. How far away are the Bills from legitimate Super Bowl contention? That's what we're talking about. Mark in Tonawanda. Hello, Mark. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Steve, just real quick about the Hall of Fame thing. I always get that from my dad. My dad's one of your biggest fans. We met you at the Athletes in Action breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
And he always says, you know, play anything like Steve Tasker. Just don't care, reckless abandonment. Just go after him the way Steve Tasker plays. So, yeah, that's always cool to hear. But I think, Steve, I got to politely disagree with you. I think it's all about the quarterback. I don't think you can consistently be in the playoffs successfully without that number one franchise guy. And I just think that the Bills are all in on that this year, and I hope they trade up for one of these top guys here. But just wanted to call and say that. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good – I mean, it's an easy take to justify, no question about it. I mean, you look around the league, the teams that are always good always have one of those guys, no question. But I don't think there's any question that this league, this team, these teams more than any this year – have proven that it's not necessary. That, you know, and you can look back at the 2000 Baltimore Ravens who won it with defense, and that's when Trent Dilfer had the year that he mm-hmm. had, you know, and he was okay. And then Tampa Bay with Brad Johnson,
right?
You know, I mean, that it was, you know,
it can happen. You could definitely win the whole thing with a very good defense. I even look back to the Denver team that won it a couple of years ago. I mean, Peyton Manning, we all know how good he's been throughout the years, but he wasn't the same Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl.
He couldn't
throw.
That
right. They won that game because of their defense. Their defense was great that year. But you, I don't know if you can't consistently win like that every year. You need a guy to be able to make certain plays throughout the course of a season, certain plays in the playoffs for you. Mm-hmm. Like Brady, you know, they might have a great defense, but at some point Brady makes a crazy throw like that 3rd and 18 that they picked up on that great defense that Jacksonville has. Well, they pick that one up, and it's like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, I think even having that franchise guy like a Brady, like an Aaron Rodgers, gives the rest of the team so much more confidence in certain situations. They know, well, all right, this dude is going to put us in position to win this game.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. I mean, and I agree with you. There's no question. I mean, those guys make a difference. But here's the big question. Why didn't Tom Brady play all the time like he did in the fourth quarter of that Jacksonville game, yeah. You know? I mean, and then you got a guy like Ben Roethlisberger. They got their offensive coordinator fired after he hung 42 points on this defense that everybody's slobbering over right. in Jacksonville. Those guys have something in the tank. But let's face it, that team around him can't be so good as to not need those guys in the fourth quarter of a bunch of games every year. Tom right. Brady bails New England out a ton every year. Ben Roethlisberger bails those guys out a ton every year. Aaron Rodgers is going to the Hall of Fame because he can bail that team out because
right.
the rest of the team isn't very good.
Right.
It's that simple.
Hey, Steve's going to be covering Super Bowl for us next week. Senior Bowl is this week, and our man Chris Brown is covering the Senior Bowl for us, Bills Insider from BuffaloBills.com. He'll be there all this week on our show and be on the Bills' various website and platforms, social media platforms. Right now, they're getting set for the South team practice at Ladd Peebles Stadium in Mobile, Alabama, and we go live now to Mobile where Chris Brown is standing by in the sunshine. Good afternoon, Chris. Good to see you there. How's things in Mobile?
Weather is great. It is a balmy 65 degrees. Our videographers, our crack staff are down to their T-shirts. They're putting on sunscreen. It's a shame you're not here.
You know how I feel about Mobile. It is a shame that I'm not there.
It is. Yeah, we do.
Mobile
we
loves
do.
Me,
so,
too.
So we figure we dig at you a little bit just to poke fun at you.
Yeah.
But, no, it's a beautiful day, which is nice because there was rain in the forecast a little bit through the weekend for these days for practice. And I know Phil Savage, the executive director here at the Senior Bowl, was a little nervous, but blue skies. So it looks like they're okay for the practice week this week.
You know, we played your segment a couple of minutes ago with Mason Rudolph, Oklahoma State quarterback. It is a shame that he's not going to be able to work out because he brought a certain amount of luster to a pretty strong quarterback class down there at Mobile, didn't he?
Yeah, and he really would have come into this practice week and the game with some distinct advantages because two of his receivers from Oklahoma State are here as well. So, you know, he would have had perfect on-field chemistry right from the jump. But I think the thing that he really wanted to show here this week, which I even asked him about in the interview, was being able to show he can get in and out of a huddle, call plays, make adjustments at the line of scrimmage, read coverage, go through progressions, some of the things that he didn't have to do a whole lot of in a very simple offensive system at Oklahoma State, a very productive system, but one that really didn't require him to do a whole lot of thinking on the fly. And so I think he wanted to get himself immersed in this pro system this week in the hopes that he could show, I'm quick on the uptake, I can process information on the fly, on the field, make good decisions, along with all of my physical tools that I bring to the table. Because he has all the physical tools, tall guy in the pocket, strict pocket passer, led the league in passing yards, led the nation in passing yards. So his production stands alone, stands on its own. It's just a matter of, can this guy process a pro-style offense and spit it out to his teammates and then furthermore execute it in the snap of a finger?
Hey, Chris, and that to me is one of the great things about, maybe the most underrated things about the Senior Bowl is the players, the prospects down there coming from all of these colleges with all of these various systems and different rules. Now they're getting pro coaching, and now they're schooled in how the NFL works. And that makes a difference, right, in being able to handle some of the different things that not just quarterbacks but all NFL players are asked to do.
Yeah, right. And to Mason Rudolph's credit, he has asked the coaching staff here, I want to be in the quarterback meeting rooms for the time that I'm here. He's actually leaving tomorrow night. He's going to try to get some more rehab on his mid-foot sprain, which he says will be ready for him to perform at the combine. So hopefully he'll be able to at least throw there. I just don't think it's the same value that he would have gotten here in a practice setting, game prep type setting with coaches, and to be in front of all the 32 teams. But still in all, he's doing his part, doing as much as he can to be here. But, yeah, you're right. No matter what position group it is, you've got guys trying to get a handle on what a pro work week is like leading up to a game at the end of the week.
Well, go ahead. Brownie, I mean, every year we come through this process and it starts the Senior Bowl, moves down to the combine, then to the draft and all the private workouts that happen after all of that is – or between the draft and the combine – and certain guys start even at the Senior Bowl to stand out that didn't necessarily stand out as a college football player. Has that already begun in Mobile, and who is that?
Well, I mean, there are guys that come in here with tremendous numbers. You know, you've got the nation's leading rusher in Rashad Penny out of San Diego State. I think we all remember what Marshall Faulk did at San Diego State in the college ranks, obviously carried that into the pros. Rashad Penny's hoping to do the same. He ran for over 2,400 yards, but I'm going to give you a reason for you to like him, Steve. He was the three-time Mountain West Conference Special Teams Player of the Year as well. So even if this is a running back that you may not plug into your offense right away, here's a guy that can help you on teams as well. And then the Oklahoma State receiver that I mentioned, Washington, James Washington, he led the nation in receiving yards working with Mason Rudolph at Oklahoma State. So these are guys that come in with exemplary production credentials. The question now is, can they carry it onto the field here and prove to be a quick study, get separation against top-end talent? Obviously, Washington went against that at Oklahoma State in the Big 12. But, you know, you look at Rashad Penny playing at San Diego State, the Mountain West, maybe not quite the elite talent that guys in the Big 12 or the Power 5 conferences would see. So he's on display here this week and has to show out. Another guy that we just talked to before we came over here when we were over at the convention center at Media Day was a kid out of Western Michigan, Darius Phillips. He's a cornerback, a converted wide receiver. This guy has 12 return touchdowns in his career at Western Michigan, and they played a bunch of Big Ten schools. So it's not like this guy hasn't played top-flight competition, and some of his best performances came against those Power 5 conference schools. He's got 5 interception returns for touchdowns, 5 kick returns for touchdowns, 1 fumble return for a touchdown, and 1 punt return for a touchdown. He's an electrifying player. The question on him is he too undersized to play out on the boundary at corner? Does he have to play slot? He's narrow-framed, about 5'10", 190, but you want to talk about an electrifying kid with the ball in his hands? Darius Phillips is a kid to watch this week as well out of Western Michigan.
Hey, Chris, I got a couple of questions for you. First one being, I know everybody here wants to know about the quarterback situation. So I woke up this morning to a headline that Baker Mayfield wasn't there yet. Has he gotten into town yet? What's going on with that whole situation?
He's supposed to be here for practice, but he was not here at the media session this morning. They informed us that he would not be attending that. Now, we don't know if that's because he is not yet in town or B, because the Denver Broncos coaching staff, who will be coaching him this week, needs extra time with him due to his late arrival to get him up to speed on the things he's going to have to execute out here on the practice field, knowing he missed time on Sunday, time on Monday, dealing with a personal family matter, went home to Austin, Texas, and then was supposed to arrive here yesterday. So we'll have to just wait and see if, in fact, he shows up out here on the practice field. He's scheduled to do so.
Now, can you give us a name of maybe a guy that we don't know? I mean, we haven't really gotten into all of these college prospects yet, but you're there with a bunch of different teams. Give us some names that you might hear people talking about around you.
I think there's a running back out of Southern Mississippi. His name is Ito Smith. I-T-O is his first name. The only question mark on him is what he's going to run for a 40 time when he gets to a combine. But he's just one of 10 players in NCAA history to have 4,000 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards. Some people compare him to Patriots running back Deion Lewis because he is compact. He's only 5'9", 195 pounds. But for three straight seasons, he went for over 1,000 yards in Conference USA. Guy's got ultra production. Now he's just got to prove it against the elite talent. But they say this kid is really quick in and out of his cuts and makes people miss. Compared, like I said, to Deion Lewis, I want to see if he's got some of that LeSean McCoy skill set as well in terms of avoiding those big hits.
Hey Chris, you've got practice coming up there, the South team practice, the North team practice. In between, you're going to talk with head coach Sean McDermott. Is that right?
Right, yeah, we'll get some of his first comments on the hiring of offensive coordinator Brian Daboll, why he felt he was the right fit. Maybe we can get an update on Zay Jones, who on social media announced that he had shoulder surgery for a torn labrum at the end of the season, get a prognosis and perhaps a timetable on him. And we'll see if there's an update on any news for Kyle Williams and the status of his future playing career, knowing he's going to be a free agent and his contract's up.
Okay, all of that coming up later this afternoon. Chris, thanks. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Thank you very much.
All right.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. He'll have coverage on the BuffaloBills.com and on our social media platforms. And we'll keep you up to date with what's going on there, too. No Senior Bowl for you, right, when you were coming out of college?
No.
No?
No.
No Combine either?
No. The Combine was in its second year in existence.
Okay.
And that was still – the bugs were being worked out of it. We didn't, and no, I wasn't invited.
How'd you get noticed?
Back then, you would have places like the Bledsoe Scouting Service, right, and stuff, and teams would say call the football office and say, hey, we're going to be in town. Could you have all the we'd have a senior timing day where four or five scouts representing 28 –
like
26 of the 28. There was only 28 teams back then.
Yeah.
So it was like, they'd be representing all 28 teams. One guy would have six teams on his crew, and the other, so there'd be like five or six scouts there. And the guys at Northwestern would come in, and we'd run and get measurements, vertical, 40, three-cone drill, all of that.
Would you have to wear your leather helmets at those workouts? Or
We would take the face masks off. Yeah.
Jeez. We want to talk.
It was a long time ago, man.
No, I'm just teasing.
It's unbelievable how long it was.
It's Tease Steve Day here on the show. Steve, sticking around for a few more minutes. We're going to kind of preview the Super Bowl where Steve is headed to next week. We'll talk about that and talk more about the Bills and where they stand. Are they Super Bowl contenders? All of that coming up when we return the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones, and Steve Tasker in studio with us for a few more minutes. We're looking to talk to you about the Bills. How close are they to Super Bowl contention? Give us a call at 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-552-550. You watched the championship game, Steve, the other
day?
In his onesie.
In his onesie, that's right.
My pajamas with feet in them.
Yeah. There were some callers yesterday and people even today who believe that the Jaguars kind of let that one get away, that they mishandled the clock and missed their opportunities. Do you see it that way?
No, I mean, you can always go back, and in a close game like that, and particularly one that you lose there in the fourth quarter like that, you start getting razor thin on what was the difference between winning and losing it. And, yeah, a little clock management here, missed timeout there, a non-call penalty or a ticky-tack penalty here or there. Both of those go against you, and all of a sudden, you know, you're playing against a quarterback that doesn't make mistakes in those situations. Right. You know, they do everything right, and you know, that's why you lose those games. That's why it's tough to beat those guys up there. But, no, I didn't. Yeah, I wouldn't. I can't lay this on the feet at the feet of the Jaguars for mishandling or letting it get away. Certainly, they played well and had a chance to win it. But you know, I think you got to look over the other sideline and say those guys got it. I mean, those guys played well enough to win.
We had this discussion yesterday too. Interesting, the one about is this the worst Super Bowl ever?
It's starting to run together. We have all these.
I know. Well, get ready for the next 2 weeks. But right, I mean, some people think because the Patriots are always there and everybody hates New England, and because the Eagles, I think, are regarded as sort of pretenders
because they don't have Wentz.
Right. I mean, right. Is this the worst Super Bowl matchup ever all time? Is it a you have trouble?
I mean,
with
bad matchup. Yeah. It's going to be a bad game, or just disinteresting, uninteresting.
Both.
I don't know if it's a bad matchup. I think it'll be a pretty good game. I think Philly and their defense is built exactly the way you need to beat Tom Brady, and that's a 4-man rush with 7 guys dropping. That's how the Giants beat them twice. So I think they're set up. I think it could be a very good football game. I think it'll be a close game. I don't think it'll be a blowout.
What's your plan next week for coverage with us? What are you going to do down there?
We're going to be down there. We get there Monday, and there's Monday night. There's a little media session. We're going to go out and start getting interviews with, you know, players and coaches, everybody with Buffalo ties, all the guys on the Philly, you know, with Frank Reich.
Yeah.
And then on the and even for that matter, Patriots too, Chris Hogan, those kind of guys. We'll hook up with those. I've got a bunch of media guys that we're going to talk to throughout the week, guys from CBS. Jamie Erdahl is going to come on with us. Gannon. Rich Gannon, yeah. And all those guys. So I'll have some of those guys on, and we'll have, you know, maybe over the course of the 3 or 4 days we're there, probably 10 or 15 interviews with different people.
During your career here, is it safe to say Frank Reich was one of your better, if not best friends on the roster?
Yeah, we were good buddies, very close.
And you keep up with him like he's moved around?
No, he moves around a little bit, but yeah. We're always, you know, now when those guys got into coaching –
You gotta let them do their thing.
You can't,
especially in season.
Yeah. Plus, I've been a CBS guy all these years, so it's not like they want media guy. Even if I'm a buddy, and you know, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean anything if I talk to him. But still, I kind of back off of him now. When I do their games, I always look him up. You know, and I always, you know, like when we're in Philly, I've been in Philly a number of times. Linda's wife is always there, and I always chit chat with them, and also his daughters. And so it's I do keep up with him. I know he's. You know, he's doing really well. I know he was very stoked about the game last week, obviously.
Yeah.
When will you speak to him after the Super Bowl? How long will you – I typically, the guys that I know, I won't talk to him for weeks, sometimes even months, I hit him up and say, hey,
I'll
man,
text
congrats.
Him. Yeah. I'll text him. Don't really expect an answer, but you know, depending on how the game goes up or down, if they go down, I might text him quicker than if he wins. Yeah. But, yeah, I'll reach out to him, say either congratulations or, hey, bro, you know, it's a great season. I know you don't want to hear it, that kind of thing. But I know I always touch base. And once he always has the Frank Reich Courage Award here in Buffalo, and I always touch base with him there, although I was out of town this last year for it. I didn't see him for that, but I always touch base with him there.
You mean he's not in the big group message?
He is not in the five presidents tech loop. He's not in the five presidents text loop. He, you know, he's like those guys. None of us have real jobs, so you know we can't be blowing his phone up when he's trying to break down film for the championship game. You know,
I can't speak right now. I'm in a meeting.
Yeah,
I'm glad you mentioned the breakfast, Steve. I got to get back to him. It's Saturday, April 14th this year. I got the text. This is when an idiot.
I might have to.
I got the text a week ago. I haven't responded.
I think I'll be in town for that.
What's wrong with me? How do I let people go for a week? Hey,
how do you let people go for a week?
That's bad. I mean, 8 days.
You know, I complain about Stevie does that. I'll hit Stevie up and I'm like, "What's up, man? How you doing?" I won't get a message back for a week and a half, 2 weeks, and then he'd be like, "What's up, man?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about right now? I forgot that I even texted you 2 weeks ago."
I got to get back to those guys. Hey, one thing about Frank, I don't think he gets enough credit for what's going on there with Nick Foles sliding in, took a week or two to get up to speed, and now I'm not saying he's Carson Wentz, but, I mean, there they are in the Super Bowl. I know Doug Peterson's the guy, and it's his offense, but Frank's got to get some of that credit, right?
Certainly, and Frank has had the opportunity. He broke in with Indianapolis with Peyton Manning, moved up to the quarterback's coach position, then slid out to San Diego with Mike McCoy and that staff, and Ken Wisenhunt is the offensive coordinator. He was the quarterback's coach for Phillip Rivers and Ken Wisenhunt and Mike McCoy and that staff. And then, of course, now he's been in Philly for a couple of years. He's been around and had a handful, if not more, head coaching interviews. I think he's getting to the point where he's a very respected guy, and there's no question after working with Peyton Manning, Phillip Rivers, and those guys.
Now Wentz.
And now Carson Wentz. He's putting together a nice resume to be an offensive coordinator someplace else as well, or maybe a head coach.
How important to you, Steve, especially at the quarterback position, which is the number one position for me in all of sports, but especially in football, is it to have a guy who played the position? Number one, Frank Reich played the position, then worked with Peyton, worked with Phillip Rivers, has worked with some top guys, and now he goes to Philly. He gets this shiny new toy in Carson Wentz that he has to now develop because he's played the position. I feel like that goes a long way. I mean, you have some coaches that never played that are great coaches in this league.
Exactly.
But I think it goes a long way when you have a guy that actually can say, hey, man, you know, this is what you're looking at right now. You should be looking here or something like
that. It's interesting, too, because the great quarterback coaches and the ones who kind of elevate other players invariably were never stars.
Hmm. Yeah.
They were the guys who were behind the star, Frank Reich, Jason Garrett, Doug Peterson.
Right.
You go down the list. I mean, they're backups. They were always backups. And they know how a star thinks. Mm-hmm. They know what buttons to push. And they also knew how to do that. They were mentally there. And they knew why a quarterback did this and why he didn't do that. I mean, they know the nuts and bolts of what goes on between the ears of those guys.
Right.
That's why I think it's not an absolute must to have been a former quarterback, but there's no doubt that it gives them an incredible insight as to how to develop a guy slowly, start this way, and find out what he can do, and you know, whatever the progression. I don't know. Right, I was a special teams guy, but they know what it takes to get the guy going. And I think you're right. Frank is a perfect guy. We always thought the guys on our team always thought he would be a head coach because he was extremely intelligent, real thoughtful guy, knew, you know, was a thinker, and that's what we had equated to a great coach. And the guys, you know, still think he would be a great head coach.
Not to take anything away from Frank's playing career, and he accomplished a lot at Maryland and certainly in the NFL, some great signature wins. But in a way, Steve, I wonder if you look back at his playing career and think this was all a prelude to what he is now. I mean, it was all leading up to him being an accomplished, really good quarterback coach.
I think there are certain guys like that.
Yeah.
Steve might agree. Yeah. Because there were guys on my college teams that I'm like, I would say it, you're going to be a coach one day. You are smart. The way you break this stuff down, you are going to be a coach other than somebody else that is a great athlete.
Yeah.
But you don't know anything about the sport.
Yeah.
It's something different. It's something different than being a great athlete, a great player, even producing a lot on the field. It's how you think about the game and how much you of an appetite you have to learn more and more and more and more about the X's and O's. Why is he doing that? Oh, I get it. So if we do this, he does that. And, you know, and they start breaking that stuff down and starting getting into the X's and O's and the psychology of it. And if they do this, we do this. And if we do this, they're going to do that so we can do this. You know, I mean, it's never ending. Right. It's never ending. You know that. I mean, the game is so complicated that the guy, it speaks to guys. And those are the guys like Frank who have had some success and it's, get into it, and I say it again, it's not a job or profession, it's a lifestyle, and that's what those guys are.
We know you went to 4 Super Bowls as a player with the Bills. When's the last Super Bowl you attended as, you know, a media guy or a reporter? Or
it
was just a guy. Was it New Orleans?
No.
Lights
no.
Out in New Orleans?
It was Lights Out in New Orleans.
So was that?
47.
Okay. So
47.
5 years ago.
Yeah. Okay. This will be the coming up next year, CBS will have the Super Bowl back, and that'll be the third one since 47, or the second one since 47. So we had 47, 50, 53.
How do you feel about going back to it in the media?
In Minneapolis as a media person? Yeah. Listen, it's different. It's different. You forget how frenzied the feeding frenzy is for the media. But by the same token, most of the guys there, like us and everybody, you know, you kind of get it. I mean, you're on Radio Row. Most guys will not venture to Radio Row because they know it's, you know, you're going to have, you can't get out.
Right.
I mean, if you walk down through there, they're, hey, Steve, you need to come on here with Baltimore. You need to go to Houston. You need to be on to Kansas City. You got to stop by a Denver booth. You got to stop by.
That.
Yeah, you will. And
you
that's
will.
Cool.
You will.
Yeah. It's cool. But if you're in the media, And you can you kind of know how the goes. I'll say, listen, I got 5 minutes. If we can do it in 5 minutes, I got to be out of here. And they'll say, okay, great. And then you'll go down and you'll sit do 10 minutes with them. But then you get out. And, you know, but you do it one day and then you don't have to do it anymore. Or you right. do a little bit every day. Or you say, hey, listen, I can't do it today. I'll do it tomorrow. I promise. That kind of thing. But it's the way it works. And it is different as a media guy. And I was there when it was Super Bowl was way different than it was.
Yeah,
even in the 4 years that we went, because changed. The first one was the Tampa Bay one with Operation Desert Storm,
right?
And then all of a sudden, security went through the roof, and also the attention because of the country and its tribe. And then over the next 4 years, it was a mushroom cloud. I mean, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. Even in the 4 years we were going, it was just over the top.
You think it will be? I mean, the Super Bowl is always big, but when you're talking about the game, you're talking about the entire week and stuff leading up to the game. Do you think being in Minneapolis with the weather out there and all of that stuff, it'll be the same this year?
Yeah, there'll be 10 events, social events. Like I got invited to the Mike Ditka, Ron Jaworski cigar event on Thursday night I'm going to go to. And then there's a Solomon Wilcox invited me to go to a health get-together for health and safety and stuff on Tuesday night. I'll probably go to that. There's 10 events, aside from those two, that are worth a trip to Minneapolis just for them, for each one, let alone all 10 together in 1 week. It's it's an incredible festival, which, you know, should really be held in NFL City somewhere. I mean, they should have their own city for a Super Bowl. They should build their own stadium, like a Jerry World, all the way down someplace. Jeez. And do this whole thing there every year. But they do it. That's why you got, you know, Minneapolis is going to be different because you got to stay indoors. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. You got to stay indoors.
What was your fondest memory of Super Bowl 26 in Minneapolis? Now, obviously, the game. Let's leave that aside. But being there that week, as cold as it was, as different as it was because of the weather.
Yeah.
What do you remember about?
I think
week?
One of the things I remember. We went to a hockey game during the week Tuesday. The LA Kings and the Minnesota North Stars. And Gretzky was playing. And we sat in the booth. There was a bunch of us. Frank Reich was there, Pete Metzler, and Biebs, and Kelly, and those guys. We were up in a box. And you know who was there? It was Kathy Lee Gifford was in there.
Really?
Yeah, she was. They were in town doing on-location stuff. And so we were all taking pictures with her, and it was fun. Yeah, okay. That's the one social thing I remember from that week. Because everything else was just freezing cold.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was. I had a great week covering that. I hung out a lot with the late John Butler that week.
Yeah.
Some late nights with John Butler. It was amazing.
How late?
Well, the bars closed at 2, so it wasn't that late. It wasn't like Buffalo late. Hey, Steve, you're going to have fun out there. We're sending our best man with you. Jay Harris is going with you.
Oh, it is Jay.
Take care of him. Take care of him.
I thought you just made a late switch when you said it was your best man.
He needs adult supervision. So
yeah, all right, right.
At all times.
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do then.
Do not let him out of your sight.
I thought he was going to be the adult in the room.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for covering the Super Bowl. We'll have fun with you next week.
We'll talk to you next week while we're out there.
All right. Steve Tasker joining us here today. We're going to be back to wrap things up here in a moment. The John Murphy Show from 1 Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
It's always a good question. What have we learned from today's show? It's presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and theaters with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, what did we learn from today's show? Well, we learned a couple of things. We learned from Trey Wingo of ESPN about that NFC Championship game. And we asked him if he expected that the Vikings would even be able to compete against Philadelphia in that game. And here's what he said.
Nope. Zero. Zip. Nada. Done. I really thought that would be. I thought if there was one game that was going to be that had the potential to be a blowout, just because of the pedigree of the two teams, I would have leaned towards the Patriots and Jaguars and thought that the Vikings-Eagles game would be really close. And boy, could I not have been more wrong.
Most of us were about that game. Steve Tasker just wrapped up with him. He dove into our Twitter poll question: how far are the Bills away from Super Bowl contention? Here's what Steve Tasker had to say.
You got to acknowledge that they're an incomplete team. I mean, there are some things that even the most staunch supporters of the team would acknowledge. But when you look at that, I'm kind of leaning towards a 3%. It's been proven by Blake Bortles and the Jaguars, and by Case Keenum in the backup, and Nick Foles, you know, these quarterbacks who were not household names with really good football teams around them that got to the championship level of the Super Bowl, of the conference championship in the NFL. You've proven, it's been proven by this team this year in One Bills Drive, that you can win without a quarterback that is a pure passer.
Twitter poll today, how far are the Bills away from Super Bowl contention? That was a question we put on the floor. And most of you think they've got some work to do, which I think is realistic. On Twitter, about 63% of you said the Bills need several pieces to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. 35% say they're just a quarterback away. 2% say, they're contenders now for the Super Bowl. I'm going with the need several pieces, which is not to say that it can't happen in the next year or two, Donald. I'd perfectly fine saying that's probably the timetable.
Yeah, I think that's a good timetable. I think that the fact that you have so many free agents this year shows you that you are a little bit far away from being a Super Bowl contending or playoff contending team every year. I think you got to see who comes back and then figure that out.
More from Chris Brown on tomorrow's show from the Senior Bowl, plus more on the Super Bowl. So make sure you join us for that. Want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistants, J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rood, our producer, Jay Harris. We'll see you tomorrow at noon with the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.